This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What did you do all last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska hunting wolverines. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No.
Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Freaking idiot.
And Andy. And Andy?
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or like Secret Service captain or whatever.
Sweet.
And you never know,
Lori might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you too. Peace out.
PFW in Progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a freaking idiot?
Oh, we have no problems with that, Andy. You know, looking like idiots. There might even be a babe
out
there
Gary.
For you. What do you think?
For me?
Yeah.
Deidre will be mad if I find her.
That's true. So, Deidre's not the one? Okay. And with that, another PFW in Progress underway. Andy Hart and Paul Perillo with you here at Gillette Stadium, a very windy Gillette Stadium. There's like a hurricane going on out there, Andy.
Coffee cup went by about 100 miles an hour.
No rain yet, though. Is it supposed to rain today?
It is supposed to rain at some point today.
Yeah, it looked a little tenuous,
yes,
as they say.
Stuff passing through. The same storm that dropped a little snow on the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, just in time for the World Series, obviously.
Yeah, I was at the game.
Yes.
Me too, Bill.
And we were at the game, too.
Bill bitch-slapping Sal Pelantonio, who deserved it, because the guy is a total douchebag.
That was Sal?
Sal Pal. And he's nobody's pal except his own, because he thinks he's God's gift to the world.
PFW in Progress round of applause for that, because we are not big fans of Sal Pelantonio. And by the way, it was a tough little exchange for Sal Pal, because not only did he get slapped around by Bill Belichick?
Which is understandable
which
and
is
okay.
Understandable.
No, we're just trying to win the game.
The score was 42-21.
Yeah, one more turnover. It's a 14-point game in the middle of the fourth quarter. Yeah, I was at the game.
Well, shortly before that.
Was that Burton laughing?
Probably.
That was everybody. Everybody laughed.
Well, I laughed. I laughed at that one, Gary. But I'll admit that I laughed more because it was Sal Pelantonio getting slapped around.
Because Sal Pal is the biggest rhymes with rock in the business.
Right. But shortly before the press conference took place, it's a very cramped very cramped media room down at Dolphin Stadium. And we're all milling around, and Andy, Eric, and I are kind of milling near the door, trying to make sure that we
I know from experience, dude.
That's right, Gary. It was that Eric that we were talking about. We're trying to get situated so we could get right out of the media room and into the locker room as quickly as possible.
Because despite the 7-0 versus 0-7, it was just surprisingly busy.
Yeah,
there were
a lot of people there, and as Sal comes in, Eric is at the door, and he sits there and says something to Eric along the lines of in or out. You know, you're just going to stand there. To which Eric turns around and says, "You can do whatever you want, but yeah, I am going to just stand here, Ace," or something like that. He called him Ace.
Tremendous.
and Sal put this look on his face and kind of walked around him, but it was good for our boy Eric sticking up for himself. And
I actually gained a little respect for Eric.
Yeah, we were very excited about that because, as we've said,
so starting at zero,
we do not have a lot of affection or affinity for Sal Pelantonio, who does nothing more than try to bully his way through the press box and locker room, so it was nice to see him get his comeuppance.
I was thinking we should have him on the show sometime and then just start tearing into him.
Well, we could do what they do in real radio and tear into him after he's done.
No, I'd rather do it to him and see how long it takes for him to hang up.
But obviously, Andy, another extremely impressive performance on the road against Miami.
Yeah, I was at the game.
Yes, we were all at the game, Bill, and we saw what you saw, and that was touchdown pass after touchdown pass after touchdown pass.
Oh, actually, Bill saw a game that was this close. I mean, a play here or there, and the Dolphins are winning that game.
He did, but we saw a record being set by Tom Brady.
No, I think I said that, Andy.
Screw you.
Six touchdown passes for number 12.
Five in the first half.
New franchise record. He extends his streak of three or more in a game to seven now, and that's also a record to start a season.
There's endless, ridiculous numbers at
everyone
this point.
Everyone sucks but me.
That's
27
true.
Touchdown passes for the season, Andy. Just two interceptions, on pace to throw 62 touchdown passes.
One from his career high, four from a Patriots franchise record. Both numbers could fall in the eighth game of the season next week. I mean, they're very much within reach with what he's doing of late with the passing game. 11 over a two-game span, ties an NFL record. The first perfect passer rating in the history of the Patriots franchise, first for Brady. Anything else we need to praise him for?
Well, continuing with the offense.
Holy Moses.
Again, a lot of guys involved. You had Randy Moss once again, the center of attention, with two just absolutely silly touchdown
catches. As they say
catches.
In Anchorman, re-goddamn-diculous.
Yeah, can I say Wes that? Welker with another huge game.
Gary, so ridiculous.
Gary shaking his head. That's not allowed, even if I am quoting a movie.
I'm gonna repeat that because I know that sometimes we get criticized for being stubborn. Another huge game for Wes Welker.
Two touchdowns.
In his homecoming back in Miami to the team that he played the first 3 years of his career.
Multiple scores in consecutive
weeks,
bringing his career total to six touchdowns.
Nine catches for 138 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Another huge game for him.
Rode Randy Moss's coattails to the end zone once again.
So, well, see, why do you got to do that?
It's what I do.
Why don't you just stop?
Great game.
Stop and give the guy some credit.
I am giving him credit. Great game.
All right.
Even nice little player.
It's a nice
This is
play.
Funny because you know what happened last night? Guess who I got into a fight with about Wes Welker?
Deidre.
Positive
she goes, or negative?
I thought you said that Welker guy stunk. I said, I never said that. And we got into an argument about it.
None of us ever said that.
Even my wife thinks I hate
I never said that.
Gary on the ball early. A lot of energy in there from Gary. First 9 minutes of the show he's had. Like
a couple
20.
Days off, I'm back.
I'm back, baby. So we had, obviously, a lot of offensive superlatives to talk about. And this despite the fact that they really went in without much of a running game. Lawrence Maroney did return to action and actually, I thought, looked pretty good
yeah.
in limited time. But the score, I think, got out of hand. That allowed Belichick to sort of give him another, you know, pseudo day off. Didn't run the ball at all in the second half. Six carries for 31 yards, I want to say.
Yep.
And he looked good. He said after the game that he didn't even feel as rusty as he thought he would. Felt good. Never thought about, you know, making any cuts or anything like that. So you get that aspect back in with Sammy Morris out. So that was good timing there. Offensively, I don't think there was enough to say. The offensive line was dominant
Tremendous.
Once again. There was one play that Brady hit Welker over the middle that it looked like he could have gotten a manicure and a pedicure in between. You know,
and being, you know, the Metro guy that he
is,
he
say,
probably
being
would.
Being Brady, he probably had that on his mind. But just a dominant performance all around offensively. Now, I don't want to be, as Fred called himself in his edit letter, I don't want to be Debbie Downer. But are there
And
any,
he is.
Right. He Fred is concerned about the defense. I don't think Andy and I are quite as concerned as Fred is, but Andy, I wanted to get your thoughts. Defensively, I know that we can throw the 28 points out, but the manner in which they played, are you concerned at all? Some shoddy tackling Bill talked about after the game?
No. I'm still concerned with what I've been concerned with all season, and that's the pass defense. I think there have been holes in the secondary. I think Ellis Hobbs has had a tough season. I agree. Mike Felger wrote it's sort of been masked by the fact that the Patriots are on this record winning streak and all the numbers they're putting up. But I think Ellis Hobbs has really struggled. I think pretty much when teams have wanted to target him, they've been able to target him, get guys open. Potentially could have given up a big play to Ted Ginn on a bomb that was just overthrown and Ginn couldn't get there. Other completions on Ellis Hobbs where he continues to be 3, 4, 5 yards from his receiver down the field. That's the issue I have. The tackling, I think, to some degree, first of all, you work on it, you focus on it, and as any good Patriots team does, they'll be better at it. But the issue, I think it's been a little bit of just boredom or kind of losing your edge and something of that nature. I think from the first game of the year, in actual competitive action in every game, we've seen receivers open, and that's a concern when you talk about the Colts on the horizon. So that's where my issue lies. I think when they need to, when they get into a dogfight, you're going to see this front seven step up.
Yeah, let's. I haven't even given out the phone number or the email, but we've already got a call, Andy, and we'll go right to the phones now. Anthony is in Naples, Florida. Anthony, are you concerned?
How you doing, Paul Perillo?
I'm doing excellent, my friend.
Let's go,
Sox. Not a whole lot to complain about after that one, I'll tell you that.
No, not at all.
Even Andy and I can't find anything to complain about.
What's that?
I said even Andy and I can't find anything to complain about.
Well, I don't know about that, guys. Listen, I was at the game, and I was hammered.
God bless
and
you.
I can even see in my hammered state that when Tom Brady is off the field, we have a problem.
Well, yeah, but...
Well...
You know what I mean? I'm just saying, I thought at least Castle could go in there and manage the game and whatnot, and we can see that, you know, if Tom Brady's down, that's it. The season's done.
Well, I mean, I think that there's a better chance that the season's done if Tom Brady goes out than you're going to see, you know, Matt Castle go in there and, you know, continue on to the Super Bowl run. I mean, I think obviously now they probably already have enough wins that they're going to go to the playoffs. If something were to happen to Brady tomorrow, I think Castle could win enough games from here on in to get you into the playoffs. I'm not sure that they win enough to win the Super Bowl.
No, I don't think they do. And I don't want to be the guy that pats himself on the back,
but that's what
I never had a lot of confidence in Castle. And I don't think we've ever seen him really grow since the first year. I've thought he's sort of plateaued. And it's not him, because he missed something that you can never recreate, and that's a college football career. He never
that's
played
true.
In college. And so he's fighting an uphill battle, and I just don't see how he catches up with the rest of the pack.
I know, and I think everything is just coming together, too, especially in the beginning of the year where, you know, they signed on Gutierrez. And that was just kind of like, you know, that's just telling you that, you know, they're going to let Castle go, and they're going to try to groom this kid to be the backup.
I think that's true. I think there's a good chance of that. And I think they thought they would have Vinny Testaverde as an emergency guy to call. Now, obviously, that hasn't really played out that way, that he's now in Carolina. But I think you're right. I think they had the young guy of the future in Gutierrez, and then they thought they'd have Testaverde as an option.
Yeah, there you go. I will tell you this, though. I think Washington's going to give them a little run for their money, as in the offense. I think the defense is going to stop their offense.
Right.
But I think this is going to be a challenging little aspect, because I think they have that back four, as in, you know, you got LeVon Landry, you got the two, the other safety there.
Sean Taylor.
Sean Taylor. Yeah, exactly. I think that secondary is going to slow them down. I don't think it's going to stop them, but I think that's going to, which I think I'm actually looking at it as a good thing, because it might make that defense step up, as in our defense.
Well, the only thing, I agree with that sentiment, to see if the defense can step up, because there are a lot of people that are starting to be a bit concerned about the defense here, but I'm not sure the Redskins have the horses on offense. They've been almost terrible this season.
This could be a shutout, and it would be no indication to me that the defense has made
Washington can't run, they can't throw, the offensive line is banged up, they just can't do anything right now.
Are they going
offense.
Into this game, Andy, with one starting offensive lineman? Or two?
Pete Kendall, two. Samuels and Kendall.
Chris Samuels and Pete Kendall.
And Raybach, is that how you say it? Raybach could be back.
Casey Raybach.
But the right side is already gone basically for the year.
John Jansen.
They've lost backups on the right side, so they were three deep.
So that's my point. I think the Patriots could come in and really shut down Washington. Like Andy said, they just don't have the horses. And I don't necessarily think that would be an indication that, you know, the Pats have righted anything that was wrong or anything like that. Now, certainly, if Washington goes out and puts up 28 points like they gave up last week, I would say there's reason for major concern.
Yeah. So, like I was saying, I think that's a little crystal ball into the Indy game. You know, let's see how the offense does against that. And, you know, hopefully we're 8-0 at that point. And I guess I'll just talk to you guys next week.
All right, Anthony, thanks for the call. And go sober up. Make sure you don't get hammered for every game. Said he was hammered.
Well, he needs to get hammered again, right? I mean, the world's, you know, you got to get hammered. If you enjoy drinking during sports, the Red Sox are in the World Series and the Patriots are undefeated. Drink all you want. You might not remember the historic run both teams are on, but you'll deal with that later.
That's
Watch
true.
The DVDs when they come out.
That's true. We could have a repeat of 04 where they both win the championship again. Be interesting. Be a fun times. Fun times in Boston.
Well, it's already fun times. Whether either team, both teams win.
Right.
I mean, right now, I know it doesn't get a lot of attention, but you have BC, you have the Patriots.
No one cares about BC. Andy.
But it's there. You have the Red Sox, you have the Celtics actually generating some interest again.
Yeah.
The Bruins are off
that
to a good start.
All, but,
except for last night when I flicked over. First time this year I decided, yeah, you know, the Bruins are on. I'll see what they're doing. 5-1, I think it was, when I flicked over.
Well, what are you going to do?
Not right. Watch hockey anymore.
Emails are coming in, Andy. Webradio@patriots.com. Again,
Patriots.
webradio@patriots.com.
Sounded a little, you know.
What?
Undrafted rookie free agent out of LSU-ish.
What did I say?
I just didn't feel real crisp.
You kind of dropped the R in Patriots. You Patriots.
Did you catch anything on that, Gary?
Just let him go.
All right.
Gary wouldn't catch it. He's used to people talking like that.
And as you just heard, Anthony called in. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. 508-543-7482. I feel like I have to look at that every time I give the phone number.
Even though it's the same number for 17 years.
What are you going to do? The emails are coming in. A lot of them had to do with some of the defense that we had already talked about, and I tend to agree with Andy on that. I don't think the tackling is something specifically that is going to be a problem. I think that is partly due to a focus issue, and I think you put that right, Andy. I would agree with that. We talked about it upstairs a little bit. I think when you have these big leads, it's hard to really be focused, but coverage, whether it's been a big lead or not, has been an issue. And I think that at times it hasn't been quite as tight as you would hope. And I think there are some teams that possibly could make them pay. Obviously, one coming up on the horizon in 2 weeks in Indy. But we'll have plenty of time to talk about the Washington game. We're still kind of dealing with the aftermath of this historic destruction of Miami. I mean, 49-28, not nearly that close.
Oh, no, God.
Interesting. I'm interested in a little bit with this backup quarterback situation.
I was at the game, Paul.
No, I know, but you know, and you're saying like you know, you just don't see.
I was at the game.
I obviously, it's no secret. I think a little bit more of Castle than you do. Okay, that's fine.
Some of us had him cut,
but I don't really see what one play does.
No,
you know, it's not like
I'm
okay,
not basing it on that.
Right? No, I know you're not. I'm not suggesting you do, but. These people all of a sudden saying, I'm worried now if Brady gets hurt. Why? Because he threw an interception? If he threw a 15-yard pass over the middle like Matt Gutierrez did, well, actually, I don't even know what the manner in which that pass was completed. I know he was one for 15
right.
yards, but I didn't see it. But if he threw a pass that was completed, would that make you feel any better? I just don't understand why people seem to be so hot and bothered about this bad play that he made. Now, look, it was a bad play.
Well, I think but don't you think they're feeding off the way the game played out more so than maybe just the pick itself? The fact that after the pick, Bill puts Brady back in and then puts Gutierrez in, reading into the way Bill handled it.
Now, how do you feel that? That's what I wanted to kind of get at. How do you feel about that? What do you feel the reasoning was? Do you think it was really, as Bill said, score-related, or do you think it was punitive in any way?
Which one? Brady or Gutierrez?
Taking Castle out to put Brady back in.
I think it was more a message to Castle. I do believe Bill. The first thing is, I believe Bill that he believes in his mind that, well, he does the math and he figures out the time and he tries to say, in a worst case scenario, they could possibly score X number of points in X possessions in X. I think he looks at it that way.
So
he takes worst case scenario.
But if he was really looking at it that way, why wouldn't he just run the ball? Why did he have Castle in there throwing?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Because he wanted to get Castle some work.
Right. See, I don't think that it had really that much to do with the score. I think it had more to do with he was really upset with Castle for throwing an interception, and he's probably a little bit more like the fans and worried about, you know, if I can't put him in a situation like that and have him avoid mistakes, how can I expect him to avoid mistakes, you know, if the game is on the line? I think there's some concerns there because, obviously, it's not a situation that you're looking for to have, you know, to have a backup quarterback that you can't rely on to not make mistakes.
But most teams don't have starters they can rely on.
No, I understand that.
That's the way I look at it.
I understand that most teams are in the same spot. You know, it's quite simple.
There's not 32 quarterbacks, never mind enough for the Patriots
you know
to have a guy on the bench
about
who
that.
Can play.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. There are not 32 quarterbacks. As a matter of fact, they're probably closer to 10 than there are 32. But
I mean, Quinn Gray comes in last night, and whew, he stunk.
We saw a big thing, though, over the weekend. In terms of a backup, Kerry Collins goes out and had a huge game for, mm-hmm. for the Titans. Not only put up a ton of points, but then responded to an epic collapse by his team by leading him down for more points to win the game. That's a pretty good backup quarterback. Now, I don't think Kerry Collins is the answer as a starter, although I think he's better than a lot of starters in this league. But I think you know what you have out of Kerry Collins, and it's probably someone who's not quite good enough to get it done.
Right.
But, you know, that's a solid backup right there. And I'm wondering why teams would allow him to be a backup while they're trotting out, you know, the flotsam and jetsam that, that we see every week in this league.
I don't know. Just because he's older, you bring him in, you're only getting a year out of him, a year or two out of him, and throw some picks. I don't know.
Well, he does tend to make mistakes. There's no question.
That's the reason I wouldn't feel great about him as my backup quarterback, because if, especially for a team like the Patriots, I'd be looking for a game management guy, a guy that's not going to throw a pick, that can make a couple passes here or there, you know, sort of a veteran, you know, a Jay Fiedler or a just a guy to sort of maintain the offense, because I think that's how good this offense is, that, you know, you just ask the guy, throw it up to Moss every once in a while to keep the defense honest. We'll run the ball, play some defense, and try to win games. You're certainly not looking for a guy to turn it over.
All right, let's hit the emails here, and we'll let the emailers direct the rest of our show here, Andy.
Okay.
John is in L.A. He obviously is a big fan of our show. So,
how big? Has he ever sent lunch?
No, he's a struggling screenwriter, though. He can't afford to do that. I'm going on record with my perhaps naive claim that Randy Moss will indeed sign long-term and that he'll take slightly less than market value. I see Randy as having found a home here, and more importantly, he has found the sense of structure that he obviously needs and seems to like. He's a weird guy, not me any weird, but I think that he has a similarly childlike quality. I believe Randy likes it here, he likes the coach, he loves the quarterback, and mostly he's got a Jones for winning. I could be wrong, but I don't see him using this as a launching pad for the almighty dollar. When he does do that, feel free to rag on me to your heart's content.
I don't think he's looking at it necessarily as a launching pad. The only I would have the concern is the team re-signing him. I think Randy Moss might be interested in staying here and playing here.
I think he'd be interested in here, but I'm not sure he'd be interested in doing it for less than he could get on the open market.
I think he would.
How much less?
I think he hated Oakland. Downright hated Oakland.
How much less?
Well, what's his value on the open market? I mean, what is he, 30?
No, but I'm not saying what the dollar is. I'm saying how much less than the dollar. I mean, if we're going to assume...
You want like a percentage, you mean?
Yeah. Like if he, let's just say if he could get $5 million a year or $8 million a year, would $6 million a year for the New England
yes,
get it done?
I think he does it.
I'm not sure it does.
I
think the Patriots should try to re-sign him. I've kind of come full circle on this.
I don't. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
I think that he is. I think it's genuine. I think that he loves it here.
I do too.
I agree with a lot of what John just wrote.
But I think his perception could change. That would be my fear.
I mean, if they win the Super Bowl, it could change.
If they win,
okay, I did that.
If they win the Super Bowl and you hand him money, I think maybe that affects him.
Well, I mean, it's hard to know.
And I also think
the last
time
they did it, it didn't work.
Well, I also think there's a chance it could be, regardless of his attitude, I think there's a chance if you sign him to a 3 or 4 year type deal, a year and a half into it, he's just not that good anymore.
Let me ask you this, and I know that you, this is another guy that you and I really disagree on, but Stallworth. If they, in fact, do what you say about Moss and they let him go, do you think that it's possible that Stallworth is back and now... Maybe they restructure that deal,
yes,
and they don't necessarily.
I don't think they hand him the $11 million
yeah,
or whatever. Yeah, I think he.
I think
a
it would
be
a big mistake to allow both of those guys to go.
I don't think they will. No, yeah, I definitely.
I really
don't think
do.
They
I
will.
Think it would be a big mistake. I think you're, in many ways you're back to where you were last year if you do that.
I don't think they will. I think one of those two guys is here next year. My hunch is it's going to be Moss actually, but I would be scared to do it. I'd be the. You know how I said about Asante Samuel, if you have that little back of your mind gnawing fear that he is going to fall off if you hand him $30 million?
Yeah.
I would have a similar fear signing Moss, attaching my name to a contract with Randy Moss. And it's based on nothing I've seen, because he couldn't be fitting in any better. I laugh every time in the locker room. I see him joking around with Oscar Lua and Ryan O'Callaghan and all his friends. He's been the perfect fit. And I don't think he's as immature as Manny is. I think he's matured over his years, but I'd still have a fear.
That's Manny being Manny, you know.
I know what you're saying.
That's Manny being Manny.
I know what you're saying. Hey, next guy up, Steve is in Winchester, Mass.
Stevie!
He says, Cork Soakers. You have to alert Gary for the Jägermeister clip. Sorry about that. Since Mini Gary was in the booth. Too bad Andy and Paul missed Jake asking Tom whether he took it anally.
What in the hell are we talking about?
Did I miss that? Jake asked Tom if he took it anally. He had to qualify his answer. How do you qualify that? How do you qualify that? And is this really the man who's
He'll
in charge?
Say that again. Or I'm going to stick this inside you.
See?
My God, what goes on when we're not on this show?
I don't know, but I don't want to know. Sounds scary.
Let's see. So there's some Maureen someone who doubts that we have 100,000 PFW in progress listeners. I'm not sure what that... Maybe that's Maura, probably Maura, because she's the one that was scoffing at our numbers, remember? I know we exist, and I know the four of you exist, but I've never heard of this Maura. He calls her Maureen. I like that. That's a good point there, Stephen. Add one more voice asking, pass the buck Ferrer to fix the sound levels. You can run a camera system that does figure... that does figure eights around Christina Acra's mid-torso every broadcast, but you can't get the podcast above three on the volume scale. Where are your priorities?
That show does figure eights around Christina Acra's...
I don't know what that is all about.
One of these days I'll watch that show.
Let's see. Not Todd really. Is in Nova Scotia. Holy crap, is Moss and these receivers good or what? Moss looks like the balls stick to him.
But you know
I'm
why?
Sorry, that just made me laugh. And
I'm the immature one?
You would have laughed. And I think he secretes some natural form of stickum. I'm just going to leave that whole sentence alone.
When the balls are sticking, he's secreting stickum?
Right. Man, these receivers make Gaffney and Caldwell look like a joke. How we got in the AFC Championship game last year is beyond me. I do have one concern, though. When are we going to see Maroney break a big run? I mean, it's hard to tell on TV, but if two guys are covering Moss, shouldn't Maroney be ripping through the defense? I saw an interview with Maroney on the local CBS station, and if his mother, brother, and sister are any indication, old Kool-Aid should switch to the sugar-free variety. I mean, oh my God, they make Paul look thin. And that's saying something. Later, boys.
I'm waiting for a Lawrence Maroney big run as well. I have been waiting for a while now. I thought... By this time, you'd have a highlight film.
I thought we would see a very low amount of carries generating a reasonable number of yards because of that. You know, the double.
And he's been fine. He's averaging 4.7.
Yeah.
So, but he hasn't had. I thought we'd have 30, 40-yard runs to point to. You know, a couple Adrian Peterson-type runs, and I haven't seen them.
I sort of agree with that. I have to admit, I thought we'd get a lot of big runs. By the way, Andy, I didn't get to see any of the game, but. Impressive performance last night by the Indianapolis Colts.
Mm-hmm.
So making the 2 weeks. You know, this is like one of those precursors. You know, the Indies got to go to Carolina, I guess, and the Patriots play Washington. That game is looking big. I mean, you think they played up that Dallas game a couple of weeks ago? I don't think you've seen anything what they're going to do to that Indy game.
And this one, I think, is more worthwhile because it's legit. I think it's two very good teams. A rematch of the AFC title game. It's got the history going back a few years, obviously. This one, the best quarterbacks, everything is legit about it. I thought that Dallas one was a little fraudulent. You know, seeing as everybody in the free world was picking the Patriots to win, it wasn't really a duel. This one could be a duel. I'm the only one who thinks it's not going to live up to the hype.
No, you're the only one that thinks that the other team doesn't have a chance to win.
But you know who does live up to the hype? Bob freaking Sanders. He's re-goddamn-diculous.
You know, all I hear is people tell me how he's not that good.
That got a look from Gary. He made a play last night. Terrible play call, first of all. Fourth and one. And they put Maurice Jones-Drew in the right side slot, motion him and run an end around on fourth and one. And Bob Sanders sniffs it out. But the backside tackle was apparently assigned to block Bob Sanders to give Jones-Drew the corner. And had he got the corner, he had a chance. It would have been a big play on fourth down, one of those fourth and ones that goes to the house. Sanders was inside the tackle, was in the middle of the field, should be blocked. Somehow he just ducks his head, slides to the right 2 feet, and makes the play in the backfield for a one-yard loss. And just amazing. The guy flies around the field. Every time I look up, he's 18 yards downfield when he needs to be 18 yards downfield on a pass, and then he's 2 yards in the backfield when he needs to be there.
The only thing
ridiculous.
I can say negative about him is he'll make a play like that, and then he'll have to miss the next 3 weeks.
Well,
yeah.
He is,
he's
5 foot nothing, 100
he's
nothing.
He's so small, and he's so injury prone. But
he's ripped. He's one of those guys that's too tight, probably.
He is, I think, as impactful a player as there is.
No question.
I mean, I don't care. I mean, everybody keeps telling me how he's not that. It's not all about him. But the facts
are
facts.
I agree with
when
that. It can't all be about him.
When he's not in the game, it's a different defense.
Yes, no question. But I still don't see how they flipped a switch last year and went from giving up 400 on the ground to nothing.
No, maybe that was a little of the focus thing that we're talking about.
Maybe.
I don't know. But let's go to our buddy.
That defense, by the way, is maybe a little better than I give it credit for.
That defense is better by leaps and bounds than it was last year. They have upgraded at every position where they lost a starter from. The guy that
They're
replaced the guy
well.
That they let go in free agency is better than the guy that left in every single
spot. I still don't think they're good enough.
I don't think they're as good as the Patriots, but, you know.
Well, I'm talking about the matchup with the Patriots offense. I don't think they're good
enough.
No,
I don't
think
either.
You're going to see big plays, guys run, you know, openings, everything we've seen. I think you'll see in that game. Maybe not as often.
The Indy is 73-24 under Dungy, whereas the Patriots are 94-39 under Belichick. I mean, those are very similar numbers.
Sure.
And it's what, 21 more wins and 15 more losses for the Patriots. Very similar.
Yeah, he got hosed, though. I'm going to take the PR approach on this one.
What did he get hosed for?
2,000.
Well, they count.
No, I know.
His first year in Indy, they were coming off a 4-12 season.
They must have been better, though. That 2000 Patriots team stunk.
I agree. That 2000 Patriots team was terrible. But the 2001 Colts were terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. That was the year that Edgerrin James ripped up his knee and missed most of the year. And that was a bad team.
They had Manning.
They did have Manning.
Belichick was stuck with Bledsoe.
Just a bad person. Our buddy PJ is next up.
PJ.
What a game. I have never seen a team methodically take apart every team in their way the way this one does. With that being said, I just want to know why the Pats didn't run the ball more in the second half last week. They are blowing teams out right now, and who knows, that may continue the rest of the year, but I think when the playoffs roll around, the games will be closer. When this happens, they are up by 10 with 10 minutes to go in the game, I want to be able to take the air out of the ball and get a couple of first downs. The second half on Sunday was nothing but a glorified practice. Why didn't we run to work on those situations? I don't want to see Brady throwing passes in the cold in the playoffs while we should be milking the clock toward the end of the game. What do you guys think?
I think they didn't really have the running backs that they'd be looking to milk the clock with. I don't think they wanted to kill Maroney in his first game back.
I think they did that in the first couple of games. I think they did it in the Meadowlands against the Jets, and I think they did it to San Diego to a large extent, and even to Buffalo a little bit. The running, well, they kind of threw the ball a little in the Buffalo game at the end of the bomb to Moss. But especially the first couple of games, I thought they did a good job of milking the clock with the running game in the second half. Didn't you think?
Sure.
No? You don't remember?
No, I think so.
It's
just
one of those things that you...
I don't have that photographic memory that you do.
I'm sorry.
I just think
sorry. I covered the team for a living.
If Maroney was completely healthy, well...
Have a salad.
If Maroney was completely healthy and Morris was there, I think you might have seen a different second half. But I think one guy's coming off a 3-week injury, and the other guy. You know,
you're not
going
to try
there.
To milk the clock with Kevin Falk and Heath Evans.
Hey, Fat Man Casale's here.
You're not going to do that. Hey, what's up?
I didn't even know he was coming in today.
I thought we were going to meet you at the TV show.
I didn't have anything to do, and I figured Fred's driving there anyway.
Why weren't you at work if you didn't have anything to do?
I was at the doctor's office in Vito.
Oh.
And I didn't have anything.
He always leaves out the details to us.
Good news is there's a huge accident on the other side going towards the TV show.
Great.
Hopefully that'll be cleared.
Well, I was going to say that's 2.5 hours from now.
Yeah, but sometimes it leaves remnants.
Remnants? Did I tell you about my
is
half
that
not hour?
A word?
Remnants, not remnants.
Remnants?
R-E-M-N-A-N-T-S.
Yeah, I would have gone with a vowel in there somewhere.
This is why I'm here.
Elk,
as I like to say. Just for the record, we're not allowed to say re-g-d-diculous. That phrase, you know, from Anchorman?
Yeah.
We're not allowed to say it.
Why?
I don't know. Gary said I can't.
Put his foot down today.
I had already said bitch-slapping and douchebag before that.
Hey, did I? I didn't
I'm okay
you,
with those.
I didn't tell you
really,
about my...
Really? The third one is the worst of those three? That's ridiculous.
My delay.
That's ridiculous.
Are you all right? Why did these things concern you so much?
I don't know. Go ahead. What's your delay? Who are you
My
talking
delay
about?
Getting home the other night? I sat in traffic for a half hour on 128 at 1 o'clock in the morning to 1:30
Well, I had traffic,
morning.
Too. They had 495 down to one lane.
It was down to one lane, only it wasn't moving through the lane. We were stopped at a dead stop. My car was in park for 25 minutes. 1:30 in the morning.
What do you need?
You want to put the headphones on and play?
You could. This is what we've come to with this boring season.
They're blowing people away. The defense is bored. Why can't we be bored?
You guys watch a Colts game last night?
I did.
Not a play.
Very impressive.
Watched the entire thing.
We did talk about that, however.
It was bizarro Andy last night. Couldn't go to bed. 12:30, I'm still rolling around staring at the ceiling, so I watched the whole game.
Yeah, very impressive performance, the way they beat them physically.
Mm-hmm.
They beat them at their own game. And I know Umanyora will probably win defensive MVP because of the numbers, but Bob Sanders, the defensive MVP.
Just so you know, Bob Sanders was how we got on the ridiculous part.
He's all over that.
I just keep having to say that.
That play he made on the fourth and one, I was telling Paul about. Amazing. Terrible play call, but great play.
But usually that will work. Right. You know what I mean?
The best part was he was out of position. The left tackle had outside positioning on Sanders. Somehow he just ducks, shimmies, and he's in the backfield making the play.
I like that. I like this new secondary that the Colts have. Much more
athletic. Way better.
Fly around,
they hit people. Way better.
That's going to be a heck of a game.
You can tell they have a little talent. Those old guys, like the, who have they had, Macklin, and all those guys that have sucked back there.
Jason David and Nick Harper.
Yeah. Those guys you could tell were just trying to stay close. They couldn't try to make plays because they weren't even good enough to stay close. These guys have confidence,
right.
So they actually try to make
confidence.
A play.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't see any of the game, but, you know, we had made the point, you know, Andy talked a lot about Sanders. I just think that they upgraded every one of those starters that they lost through free agency. I think the player that's replaced them is better. And that's why I think the defense is better. Now, they may not be as deep as the Patriots, and they may not have the overall scope of talent, but I think when they're healthy, I think they're a formidable opponent. Now, help me out here, you guys that watch the game. You mentioned this fourth and one play that they ran the ball with Jones-Drew.
On a reverse. Yeah. They faked it up the middle and ran the end around with Jones-Drew.
Okay, now, was there another fourth and two that they went for that they threw the ball deep? Or they threw the ball in any way? I don't know.
They went through it on fourth down, I want to say, three times.
Oh, yeah, they went a bunch of times.
Now, do you know which one was first?
The fourth and the Jones-Drew was the first fourth down.
Oh, okay. See, you know, it's fun. When you talk to some people and they're like, they were complaining, some of the guys down in the TV studio were complaining, I don't know why you'd have a team like Jacksonville that's physical and wants to run the ball, they have a fourth and two and they throw the ball downfield.
Well, that one, I believe,
if they had already tried to run, wasn't it?
That was one where they tried to turn a fourth down into a big play, get a big play in a running down. They tried to hit a big play there.
But, I mean, they had already gotten stopped running the ball, too. I mean, I think that's...
Right.
That's understandable.
Well, the running was weird. They'd get stopped, Then Fred Taylor would have like a 19-yard run. Then it'd be get stopped. Then he'd break off.
They had one drive all night. They had the drive coming out of halftime where they just ran the ball.
As soon as Garrard was done, they had no chance.
I'll tell you
where Quinn Gray stinks.
If you're Indianapolis, I'll tell you where you're concerned. And from what I understand, they gave up a 60-yard kickoff return to open the second half.
Yeah, the Jones.
That's where I'm concerned. They have the worst special teams in the league. They can't get a kickoff without. Without giving up a kickoff return, they can't get a place kick done without the threat of it getting blocked. They've had several extra points blocked and field goals mishandled. The snaps have been terrible. That's where I'd be concerned if I was Indy. They need to straighten that out. I think that's a major thing in a tight game.
Yeah, it's way it one way or the other. I think that game is going to be tight.
We completely dismissed Miami and Washington, by the way.
We're
not looking back.
So is Vegas.
Well, what's the spread?
16.
16.
Oh. Joe Gibbs was right. By the time the game happens, they could be the biggest underdog in history. Did you read his quote?
Yeah,
Gibbs' team no chance.
I saw it on ESPN. I have to say, in my time following like teams, this is the biggest spread for the Redskins are a good team. They're in the mix of being the number one seed in the NFC, and they're getting close to 17 points, probably be 17 at game time. That's amazing. So obviously Vegas is done with the
getting killed on
the Patriots. No, I'm not. I'm just saying that's how devastating this New England team is that Vegas isn't even screwing around anymore. They're just saying, here you go, 17. Take it if you want.
Plus, they're comfortable with big spreads since Bill's willing to run it up.
All right, let's move on. Salton in Orlando is next up. I want to touch on a couple of things. First off, last week,
I was at the game.
You tried to figure out why the Pats have Chad Jackson practicing. I believe that if Jackson is healthy, he should join the roster. Next year, we will most likely be without Moss, Stallworth, and Brown. Also, Washington has an option for next year that, if I remember correctly, gives him $1 million roster bonus. So if Jackson is healthy, why not add him and release Washington now? He has no catches and 8 tackles in 5 games. I doubt Belichick will trigger the option for that production. Chad Jackson can be the fifth option, play a little, get some reps. If he develops and Belichick triggers the option on Stallworth, the receivers next year could be Stallworth, Jackson, Welker, and Gaffney, which would be better than this year's which would, I'm sorry, which wouldn't be better than this year's, but but better than last year's.
Yeah. I mean, that's a theory to get Jackson into the offense for the future, but I just don't know if that's accurate. I don't know what they're
doing. Well, in this guy's defense, they are pretty much practicing in a lot of these games. They were practicing against the Dolphins. Why not practice against the Jets and Buffalo when you play them?
I think Kelly Walker, I mean, I know I have somehow, I've attached an affinity for this guy, but I think that he's contributed. I think that he's shown up on a lot of these coverage units. And, you know, you have a guy like Mel Mitchell who's been in and out, you know, and he's been banged up. I think there's a lot of roles that Kelly Washington can play.
If they bring both Jacksons?
Don't you think Kelly Washington's been more valuable than Jabbar Gaffney?
Mm-hmm.
I'd get rid of Gaffney if you have to get rid of a receiver.
And the other thing,
I've never liked Gaffney.
The other thing, too, is Washington played a lot in the slot in Cincinnati. So if something were to happen to, whatchamacallit, what's his name?
Welker.
If something were to happen to Welker,
Andy ripping him again.
He might be a good option in the slot with Moss and Stallworth on the. You know, he gives you some talent there in the slot. I think Jabbar Gaffney is what he is. You know, he'll catch a 7-yard pass. Where I think there's more upside with keeping Washington in case there's an injury to one of those three.
Now, I would have cut Gaffney in camp, so we know where I stand on Gaffney.
Yeah.
Are you slamming Welker again?
No, I just said.
Well, here's the thing.
He was joking.
But something Andre Goodman said to me kind of made me think of something. He said that Welker would be a dangerous threat in the slot on any team, but when you put him with Moss and Stallworth, he becomes special. And a couple of names came to mind: Oz Hakeem and Brandon Stokley. Now, those are pretty good receivers, right? Mm-hmm. But they were on two of the best offenses of all time. And when they were unstoppable because you had to worry so much about the outside receivers.
Right.
So I was thinking
there was
Welker.
A thing last week. Just like that, perfectly put, Tom. The Boston Herald had a chart with some of these third receivers, and Stokley was one of them, and I think it's a perfect analogy. What was the difference in the Colts offense with or without Stokley?
Right.
Zero.
And don't you think, like, one of the best passing offenses is the Cowboys? Would we agree on that? Mm-hmm. Now, if you put Welker in Dallas, do you think he would have this kind of production? Because I don't think he would be anywhere near it.
Right.
No.
So I think the fans are right when they say he's a pretty good player.
He's a good player.
And I think you guys are right when you say it's part of the system, because even Andre Goodman said putting him here with these guys, it makes him unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing,
let's face it, and we all like him. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a likable guy. He plays hard. He's a fan favorite for a reason. They like the way he plays. But you can't argue with his production. He's been phenomenal.
Right. And the one thing I think is interesting about this game, I don't think the Redskins have any chance of winning. Let me say that straight up. But these receivers haven't been touched all year. Welker hasn't been touched. He hasn't been hit. And they have those two big safeties with Landry and Taylor. They have two physical corners. So the one thing I am interested in watching this game is, do they play the old Belichick when he used to play these kind of teams and sit back and just hammer you like that the Bills in the Super Bowl and just try to be physical with you? Because that's the way I think you have to try to slow down this team is when the receivers are going to catch passes. We all know that. Welker's going to catch his passes. But you got to hammer him because he's running for 30 yards after a catch. No one's even near him.
But see, that's a product of Moss, too.
No, I know.
All they've been doing, line him up on the same side. Moss runs deep. All the little defensive backs go with Moss, and Welker catches the ball and just follows that convoy to the end zone.
But I think you almost have to play an umbrella defense. Like, I know, did you hear what Mike Ditka said? And the fans are kind of making fun of him. I play a two-man line. And play four linebackers and five defensive backs.
That's not the first person I've heard say that.
I know, and the fans are saying...
They shouldn't be making fun of
that. The fans are saying, well, great, we'll just run Maroney all day.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know what?
Right.
I say do that all you want.
Go ahead.
Make it take you 15 plays to score. That's fine. If you do that, that's fine.
Because, Paul, if I'm not mistaken, there's a defensive game plan in the Hall of Fame that had a similar system where they said, let Thurman Thomas run. I'm pretty sure Thomas is better than Maroney. Let him run all day, and we'll take away the pass. I think that's the only shot you have.
As I've said in the past and will continue to say, the offensive game plan from that Super Bowl should be the one in the Hall of Fame, the one that held the ball for 41 minutes.
But you know, I've said it before, and I'll say it forever.
You know what's funny about that is, we're talking about the Colts game coming up. And it's almost everybody would automatically assume this is going to be a major shootout. And I do think the offenses will not be stopped. But I'm not sure how many points are going to get put on the board. Because I don't think that either team is going to allow a lot of big plays.
I agree. I was thinking
of
that last night.
If it takes you 10, 12, 14 plays to score, that, you know.
Makes
only so many of those drives in the game.
Right. Now, how many times have you seen the Patriots, you know, score a pair of 85-yard drives and, you know, for a combined 20 minutes? Well, if that happens, it could be like 28-24 and you're out of time.
Right.
You know, I don't really think there's going to be a lot of punts, but I'm not necessarily sure we're looking at 41-38.
It was like that, the game they played here, where they missed the field goal.
You shortened the game.
There was a lot of offense, but the score was in the 20s.
27-24, yeah.
So, yeah, I thought about that last night, actually, how the Colts will play that Tampa 2 and try. And you know that the Hobbs will be 20 yards off Reggie Wayne.
I was
going to
say, you know the Patriots aren't going to allow a lot of big plays because they never do against the Colts. They're only the only big plays the Colts have ever gotten on them have been kind of broken plays.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing I did see last night is I think Marvin Harrison is starting to enter the downside of his career.
No question.
Because Rasheen Mathis had him all night, and he didn't really have anything. So I think you're going to put Samuel on him like they did in the championship game. You're going to have Hobbs play 75 yards off Reggie Wayne so they can't throw deep. So I think you're right, Paul. I think it could be a 28-24 game, but the offenses
but
are still
clicking. But maybe with two punts combined. You know, that's what we were talking about mostly, too. You brought up Hobbs and that kind of stuff. Andy and I were talking about in a lot of the emails the defense. You know, is it concerning or is it just, you know, the tackling that Bill talked about, the bad tackling. He talked about it after the game and he talked about it again on Monday. Obviously, that wasn't anywhere near where you need. Andy and I kind of feel like it's one of those things that might be a little misleading because they've had such big leads.
Yes.
Maybe the focus isn't quite as high as
and that's just human nature.
But, you know, concerning, I think, is probably the right thing. Worried is probably not the right thing, but concerning.
Yeah, and as Fred Kirsch made a good point, he's not even here to hear it. He's wondering, when you do play the Colts, can you just flip a switch? You know, like you've kind of like, can you just all of a sudden say, we have to play good defense now? Right. So that'll be interesting to see.
All right, well, we've come to the point of the show where we come to a grinding halt and go to the phones.
With the key
Craig
ass.
Craig is in South Carolina. Craig, how are you?
Man, there's a lot of love in the room. Well, it was another impressive win. And, Paul, despite the fact that I sparked an argument between yourself and Fred last week, I tend to agree with you. You know, Welker is a hell of a role player.
Dangerous game you're playing there, Jack.
He's performing above and beyond. He's third in the league in receptions right now, and the leading receiver on our team. It's just awesome to watch him out there, and I'm glad that Scott Pioli and Belichick had sense enough to get him in here, along with the other guys.
Yeah, Randy Moss. I'm glad they had sense to get Randy Moss in here.
Bitterly going to miss that fourth rounder, though. Come draft day, we'll be kicking ourselves for that pick.
It's part of the package, right? Hey, let me ask you guys something. You know, the Colts, you know, they played a good game last night. They played sound football. But if you look at their schedule and analyze the offenses that they've played against, it's pretty obvious that they haven't played a team with the talent and the balance that the Patriots possess on offense.
Only teams that have played the Patriots have played a team with the offense that the Patriots have.
And the Patriots haven't played a team that the Colts...
Right.
Listen, Craig, I was thinking of this last night. The Colts have three pretty good wins. They went on the road to beat Houston. They're not a great team, but that's a place where they lost last year. They went on the road and beat Tennessee. They went on the road and beat Jacksonville. I mean, two of those teams are playoff contending teams in their division. Those are three road wins for the Colts. I don't think they're as spectacular as the Patriots, but they're playing some good football themselves. So, you know, I think that's going to be a heck of a game.
I agree with that. My point is, if you look at, you know, the offenses of the teams that they've played against, I'm just saying I think Denver's defense is being hyped. I mean, excuse me, the Colts' defense is being hyped a little bit more than they actually are.
Is the Patriots' offense being hyped too much?
Do I think our offense is being hyped too much?
Yeah.
I don't know. They keep putting up 48, 49 points.
Well, they haven't really played any defenses yet.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Really? I was being sarcastic.
Craig.
The Patriots' offense has been phenomenal. It's on record-setting pace.
Craig.
I don't think it's being hyped too much at all.
And no one's saying the Colts' defense is better than the 85 Bears. Our point is it's better than it was last year because the shoemakers they got rid of weren't any good to begin with, and some of these younger guys have a little bit more talent. Do we think that they're going to stop the Patriots and hold them to 17 points?
Absolutely
not.
I think my point is basically is that I believe that our defense is stronger, and I believe our defense is more capable of containing the Colts than they are of containing.
And that may be true.
That's why I think we're going to win.
That might be true, but we'll talk about that next
week. 2 weeks.
Because right now we just come off the Miami game, and we're preparing for Washington. And I follow Bill Belichick's advice, and we take it one game at a time. Gary, where are you here? Did you blow him up yet?
He's gone.
I didn't hear the blow-up sound.
Well, we like the blow-up sound.
I just want to keep him on edge.
I like the fact, you know, and obviously, Craig, we're kidding around with you because that's what we always do. But in a stunning surprise.
A posthumous blow-up.
In a stunning surprise, for the 111th week in a row, Craig has found ways to say that the team that the Patriots are preparing to play is overrated. Which I always find funny.
The Monday night game, they couldn't shut up about the Patriots and never talked about the Jags or the Colts for 2 minutes.
Oh, they didn't shut up about the Patriots for 1 second.
Now Peyton Manning is the guy who deserves our pity because no one cares that he's good.
I'm telling you, Andy, I was watching that game and it was eerie because I'm like, I can't believe it. The Patriots are the Colts and the Colts are the Patriots.
You just stumbled into my commentary.
That's his commentary. It really is. I mean, Manning only has 11 touchdown passes now.
But, and did you hear what they said? They said the Colts aren't blowing anybody out. They're not the sexy pick. They're just the defending champ winning games. I'm sorry,
Who's
is that the Patriots? What's going on around here?
I just think it's so funny because here's the Patriots are scoring like a pinball machine,
right,
and the Colts are grinding out like 15 yards at a time.
Two aspects
Patriots
of Indy.
Can't tackle.
One is what you just said, Tom, the grinding aspect. They can run the ball now seemingly, and not just running it when you're looking to pass. It seems like they can run the ball a little bit better now than maybe they have in the past, and I think they play defense better than they have in the past.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Paul, they really missed that Dominic Rhodes. They had to replace him with Kenton Keith.
Yeah. I don't know how they're going to overcome that loss.
I mean, he had 60 yards on the ground last night. They got that 1-2 punch going.
Although I think they both seem to be a little bit meow-ish. Every time I see those guys get up, they're like flexing and all. Like Adai, every time he comes up, he's flexing that shoulder, that chest, whatever.
Yeah.
And then
I'm not sure if he's 100% though right now.
I don't think he is. And then the other guy got dinged up, and then he dropped a couple. But it seems like he's kind of what I would think of a CFL player, a little soft.
What I would think of a CFL player?
Yeah, a little soft. Got that big field, extra room to run from people.
You have to be soft to play out there?
Yeah.
When you play like 27 games and Doug Flutie. negative temperatures?
I don't know.
Anyway, Matt and Quincy thinks that the Dolphins are throwing the season. He says it's as close as he's ever seen to a team just throwing the whole year.
You ever watch the Rams?
Think they're not good.
It seems to me they could still use a guy like Chris Chambers. Any reason they couldn't trade him after the season? It really stinks for guys like Taylor and Thomas. I think that was a great trade for both teams. I think Miami needs draft picks, and I think the Chargers obviously.
And they're not going to win or lose
games. But there was obviously something else there where he didn't want to be there,
yeah,
too.
I'm not buying the whole... Every time they talk about Chris Chambers, it's, you know, I couldn't respect him more. He handled himself as a professional. Something happened. There was some little story. They weren't getting along. Something was going on.
And here's the thing. They got a hit on their draft picks. Now,
which they haven't.
Right.
They haven't even had any.
Right,
in the last 5 years.
But now, I don't know, Ted Ginn might still be a good player, but he definitely doesn't look as fast to me and as explosive as he did in college.
He didn't look very fast
and
to me.
And you know me, I was the biggest Ted Ginn fan on earth. Now, here's the problem I'm going to have with the Dolphins on draft day. They're going to have the number one draft pick, maybe, them and the Rams fighting for it. You got 75 quarterbacks coming out. They're not going to take one. Okay, they're going to go with John Beck. That's who they think. So they better be damn right about that. They better be right that he's the quarterback, because they're going to be bad for another 10 years. Because you got 5 quarterbacks coming out this year. 3 will probably be good. So you have your chance to get one, and you're going to pass that up. You better be right about John Beck.
They're wrong.
All right, we'll take one more email, Gary, before we hit the break. It's from Mike. We all know that Belichick is a huge history buff. I think he knows this team is special, especially on offense, and that if he keeps this up, he can be part of history on so many levels. If the team continues to play this type of football, a perfect season is very attainable, as well as team and individual records. We could all be naive and think that these things do not matter, but when you have a team that is this good, why not do all the things that can make this team could be considered the greatest ever to play? With that said, Andy, the defense played a little sloppy on Sunday. I am sure most of that was due to the fact that the score was out of reach by the middle of the second quarter and that it would be hard to keep up the intensity throughout the game, but the tackling needs to improve, and a team like the Colts will look at this tape and see that they will be able to move the ball and score. If the Patriots beat the Colts, they will not lose a game. Well, Andy thinks that they will, but
That's not true.
That's an argument for a different
thing. Andy was the first one
to
be
undefeated. Now you're off the bandwagon? What happened?
No.
Pittsburgh.
He spins everything.
Oh.
I was the first one on the undefeated bandwagon, and I'll remain there throughout the year.
Pittsburgh defense that held the Broncos to...
That's a pretty good touchdown.
Tough week for Andy to be arguing Steelers on the trash talk segment.
Oh, you're arguing the Steelers?
Well, you just argue that the matchup.
You know, you remember how you argued T.O. coming off a T.O. drop? Yeah. That's what I have this week.
Yeah, I've been rather fortunate with my point counterpoints.
Yeah, the T.O. one didn't turn out my way.
All right, G, let's take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything. Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Playoff action is back in Foxborough. Once again, your New England Revolution have advanced to the MLS playoffs and are looking for a return trip to MLS Cup.
Drives it for them, and the goal! 1-0 Revs! What a huge tally for New England!
Saturday, November 3rd at 7:30 p.m. Taylor Twellman, Pat Noonan, Matt Reese, and the rest of the Revs take to the field in Foxborough, and they want you there to cheer them on to victory.
Takes a touch, and there is it! 1-0 Revs! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet!
Individual tickets start at just $18, and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group, and don't miss a minute of this exciting playoff match at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your playoff ticks.
Get your ticks.
And get the Revolution.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything. Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats! Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
DFW in progress. Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo with you. Where's Jake Steele today, guys?
He was upstairs. I saw him.
Was he just taking the day off?
I said he's going down the radio. He's like, nah. He was one of those things where he was walking fast. He was befuddled.
Evidently, he knew that
maybe
we didn't
like
have
Jake
any food
Steele
today.
Or something like that.
Yeah, if there was food, he'd be here.
Right. Let's see here.
Fraud Kirsch.
Mike in Erie, Pennsylvania, has one of those questions that Fred would normally have. And how, the little things that Fred fixates on. Tom Brady had his first perfect passer rating last week, 158.3. Although Tom has been outstanding, to say the least, my question is, if he had gone 25 for 25 instead of 21 for 25, wouldn't that be perfect?
Yep. They both would be perfect.
Yeah.
There's a ceiling.
Fred's big thing is he doesn't understand why you should have to be perfect to be perfect. Which, I don't
know
how
someone tells me how they figure out that formula, I'll give you the answer.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, it's not just, completing every pass makes you perfect. I mean,
no.
if you went 21 for 21 for 40 yards,
right,
that wouldn't be a perfect passer rating. It's
you need touchdowns.
You need touchdowns. You got to have yards per attempt and all.
Yeah, you could
stuff.
Have 21 of 21 for 400 yards with no touchdowns in. You wouldn't be perfect. You got to have touchdowns at a certain percentage.
I think that might be perfect, though.
Oh,
to have
no.
For that many yards, I think nope. It would be.
Because I'm pretty sure...
I'll click it in when I go upstairs.
I'm pretty sure there's a fact in there that you have to have a touchdown per every certain pass attempts, or it downgrades you.
No, you might be right. Matt
I usually
is,
am.
Matt is in Southie, and he has a couple of observations. Of the four third downs at the Pats, not including garbage time, they went deep on two of them, one of which went to Stallworth that was incomplete, while the other one went to Moss for a 50-yard touchdown catch. Why not do this Hail Moss, instead of Hail Mary, he calls him Hail Moss, type throw more often on third downs? He's got a good chance of catching him, and if they're intercepted, the result is still likely better than a punt. Although he booted the hell out of the ball last game, talking about Chris Hansen. I'm not sold on that guy. I'd rather see Eric the Leg out there.
I know. I wouldn't.
I'd rather see Eric the Leg continue to slap around Sal Palantonio. anyway, two, with all the positive press surrounding Matt.
Can we answer that one first?
Okay.
I just want to say, because the offense is so good that, they can succeed on other plays, too. Like on third and seven, they can throw a 10-yard out for a first down and get a new set of downs and continue drives. You don't just have to that's a desperate team that says, oh, I have a big receiver on third down, I'll just go deep because it's like a punt. This team is not desperate in any way.
Minnesota had the same thing with Carter and Jake Reed and Robert
right.
Smith. They didn't have to go to
right.
do that.
When you're good on offense, you move the chains and
keep
driving.
The Raiders, on the other hand, that should have been right. part of their package.
Mark with a C has a question for Tom.
Now I screwed the other guy because you were getting to point two.
No, it was the same thing we've already talked about, so I left that. He wants to know your impressions of LeRon Landry, and I want you to be careful not to knock the table over when you're talking about it.
Well, I think he's... What do you mean my impressions?
Like, what do you think of him?
Oh, I think he's great.
I know. That's why I didn't want you to knock the table over or anything by, getting too excited.
I mean, I've only seen 1.5 Redskins games. But I thought he played well in the Eagles game I saw, and he had that big break up there, on the fourth down. And I think him and Taylor together, that's because Taylor's phenomenal. He's more the big play guy, where Landry's more of the hammer, even though Taylor's is a big guy too. But
well, it's changed the way Taylor's been able to play
right.
because he used to play up in the box all the time, and he would end up with hits, force fumbles, but he wasn't really a part of the passing game as much. Now he's back deep, and he has 5 picks. He's making plays on the ball, and Landry's up. And I don't know if he's leading the team. He's in the top 2 or 3 on the team in tackles. The only thing I'll say with him is he hasn't really made any, strip and then pick the ball up kind of play, Ed Reed-type big
but
plays
yet. But I don't think
yet.
He's an Ed Reed-type of guy.
If he's going to be as good as he can be, he's going to have to be a game changer.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
And he hasn't made those yet.
But I'm saying I don't think he's the center field or
no,
ball.
No. I'm saying
that's more Taylor.
I should have said Rodney Harris.
At
some point,
he
needs to force
Rodney
fumbles,
Harrison.
Sacks, recover a ball.
Yep.
And he hasn't done as much of that as I think they kind of thought he might early on.
Tom, Mark says you sounded a little nervous on BCN this week. What the hell's going on over there?
I can't believe I'm talking to Tom.
Oh, well, Mark Capello came and got me when my blood sugar was 35, and he couldn't wait 2 minutes, so I had to throw candy down, and I don't think I was all together there, so my blood sugar was a little low.
So
when
you just
I was
didn't up sound like your normal self. Sounded a little nervous.
It's not really fun anymore. Ever since Borges left, that show is not as fun to do.
I was off, because when my blood sugar is low, it's hard for me to form what I'm trying to say, and I kind of stumble and stuff, so that's
probably. Just throws pen cap. I mean, bottle caps at you.
I'm just gonna say, I'm not. But
our buddy TG and NJ is next up. He says, "Are we forgetting something here? Is it the Colts that will be going 16-0? We know both teams can move the ball right now, but now it seems the Colt defense is better than the Patriots defense."
I'm not sure about that, buddy boy.
The Redskins are not to be taken lightly. Could it
now
be,
the Patriots stink on defense?
Could
that
it be the
are
biggest test for the receiving core to date? I do think it'll be the biggest test for the receiving core in the whole passing game. I think the secondary, as we talked about, is physical. Big play capability. I do think that. I just think that it's virtually, in my opinion, an unlosable game, because I don't see any way, shape, or form that Washington puts up enough points offensively to stay close.
The only way you lose this
unless you turn the ball over.
It's four pick six.
Right. All these passing offenses in the NFL now. I miss the defensive games. It would be nice to see a good old fashioned smash mouth 6-3 game. Maybe when the weather turns colder. That's TG and NJ. I'm not a big fan of the muck it up, 6-3 games.
Do the Ravens and Redskins play this year? Because you got a chance if you watch that game.
Yeah, any game the Redskins are involved in, they can't score.
Well, both.
They usually play pretty good.
The Ravens,
defense.
They both stink on offense. They can't do anything. And
yeah. You think their defense is better than I think it is. But
no, I just think they can play a little, and they won't score. And I think the Redskins against the Ravens wouldn't score.
I'm just
therefore,
not a,
I think it would be 6-3 or 3-0.
I'm just not a fan of those games, because I know that people say, like, I like the defensive games. To me, those games are bad offense games. I think that generally when no one is getting first downs in the course of a game, it's because of poor offensive execution 99 times out of 100.
So you think good offense beats good defense?
Well,
today I do.
I think for the most part, a lot of the cliches about offense doesn't win championships and whatnot are wrong. I think if you look back at the majority of Super Bowl champions, they either were very balanced teams, which makes sense. If you're the best in the league, you're usually pretty good at everything. And in many cases, the offense was every bit, if not better, than the defense. I think you look at those Bill Walsh San Francisco teams. Yeah, they could play defense, but they won because of their offense. And Joe Montana, the Rams, in the late 70s. There's one Baltimore Ravens example that all of those guys like to throw in your face. And to me, teams like the 85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens are few and far between, whereas there are plenty of examples of teams that lit up the scoreboard, like the Redskins and the Niners in the 80s. Those teams could score with anybody.
Yeah.
They had good defenses because they were balanced teams. That's what made them great.
Yeah, I agree with you. Even when those teams were good, like the Redskins and the Cowboys, the Eagles had the best defense in that division. But they didn't have any offense. So those teams could go in and beat the Eagles 20-10 because they could score 20 on anybody. And the Eagles, they needed three touchdown returns. And
yeah, that's how I look
too
at
much.
It. I've never really enjoyed it. Maybe I don't know the game as well as some other people. I'll be the first to admit it. I just have never really enjoyed, a 7-6 game or a 6-3 game. To me, that's not fun. Now, I don't necessarily enjoy, 48-45 games either. I can recognize that as no defense being played, and it's too easy. But, 28-24, I find that very entertaining. A little offense, some defense. Well, you're just in a trance over there, Andy. What's the matter?
With what?
I don't know. You haven't moved, you're just staring blankly.
I'm just watching the TV. All those fires out in San Diego that have the Chargers in Arizona.
Yeah, that's a big thing. I mean, obviously, the sports aspect of it is minor by comparison, but if they have to play this game somewhere else, right now they don't know where they're going to play the game because they're using Qualcomm Stadium as a shelter. That's a major disruption for a team.
500 homes I saw last night.
Aren't they thinking about Arizona State?
Yeah, because they can't play at Glendale because there's some event there on Sunday. I forget what it is, but there's some kind of an event there. Yeah, maybe they'll play at Sun Devil Stadium.
What a dump that is.
Well,
the fourth-ranked Sun Devils.
It'd be better to play there than it would be to go to Houston. I think that was a major mistake a couple of years ago. when they made the Saints do that. Let's see. Next up. Couple quick questions as I completely overlooked the Redskins. This is from
Joe Gibbs.
Chris. This is from Chris in the Bronx. Not a Yankees fan, though. Watching last night's Colts-Jags games, it looked like Jacksonville brought a hammer to a gunfight. Still, many concerns about just how good...
The Colts brought a hammer and a gun.
Many concerns about just how good Indy looked. One, will the Pats be able to force Sanders to play the pass game, thus helping New England's run game?
And hurting New England's pass
game. I don't think anybody cares about New England's run game. I really don't.
Will Matt Light and Kyle Brady and others be able to contain Dwight Freeney? Who do you think will be who will end up being the Patriots' go-to receiver? Who will be the open one?
What? Probably Welker across the middle on the on the cover two, I would imagine.
Will the Pats be able to stop Peyton Manning's new improved take-what-they-give-me offense? And he says he must say the Colts look sharp, and it's not like they're overhyped this season.
No, everybody says they're underhyped.
I'm glad they weren't overhyped last year as the Super Bowl champs.
He makes a good point about Manning, though. I think that's the change he made. Like, when I first came here...
Yeah, in the second half of the AFC Championship game, he had an epiphany.
He's really different now. He used to try to get that... I think maybe he has more faith in his defense a little bit, because he used to always try to go for the big play, and now he'll
check down. Thought he was in a shootout at all times.
He'll run the ball, and that offense just looks a lot different. And, you know, you really have to hand it to Peyton Manning, because to me, he's the coach.
Right.
Of the offense. And yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a tough game. I know Jacksonville's supposed to be a good team, and they thrashed them. I don't think it was as close as the score indicated. I never thought Jacksonville had a prayer. So it's going to be a heck of a game. Let's hope they both get by these minor hurdles that they have this week.
That's what I said. Imagine if they both lose this week.
Well, I think by human nature, they both might start off a little slow, because you know they're looking at they're looking at each other. But Carolina... No, it's the test of already starting, because they got no shot.
Right.
And the Redskins have to come here. Maybe if it was on the road, you'd think, but no chance. I think they're both undefeated.
Yeah.
Not a lot of good emails. I'm just kind of reading through the emails, and there's a lot of, first of all, we continue, I'm going to summarize the previous five or six emails. We continue to get complaints about the audio levels of the
That's
no problem,
Chris Ferreira.
Chris Ferreira.
Of listening and
webmaster at patriots.com.
So, okay, let me ask you guys a question.
Buddy Stripper says it was great to be on hand in Miami, by the way, because the stadium emptied out and the Let's Go Red Sox chants. He said he even heard a Yankee Sucks chant on the way out.
I was going to ask where Strippers was. He said,
"Oh, he's been in a couple of times.
Okay.
I just haven't read the emails."
The who do you
There's
think?
Only 1 October.
Who do you think wins first, the Rams or the Dolphins? Because that Rams team is an abomination.
I have to say this. I have seen...
play in the NFC.
I continue to say that there's no way that they'll go 0-16, and I honestly, legitimately believe it's more difficult to do that.
I do, too.
Than go 16-0. But after having seen Miami in person and seen the lack of passion that that team is playing with, and seeing the highlights of the Rams game,
looks like they have less passion
and seeing
than
the
Dolphins.
And seeing the same thing, I now think it's a legitimate possibility. Those two teams not only aren't that good, they're playing like they don't care.
Right, they don't care
as
anymore.
As Keyshawn said last night, about week eight, you start packing the bags.
You know, I'm glad you brought Keyshawn up. Did any of you guys see the Sunday conversation, replays at all? He's talked to Chad Johnson.
I didn't care to watch it. No, I didn't.
Really watch the whole thing, but I saw a lot of the clips of it that they showed. How is Keyshawn Johnson getting away with being this analyst that is portraying everything as the ultra team performer? This has been a me first guy throughout
what
his career.
I said to you 2 weeks ago when he was ripping T.O. and I said, isn't this the guy whose book was called Just Give Me the Damn Ball?
But that's part of what I'm talking about.
No, I know, but it's
that and
who he is now.
He is completely ripping Chad Johnson and asking him when he's going to wake up and realize that he's wasting his career with all this nonsense. This is a guy who called Wayne Krabet the team mascot and wrote a book about...
Why is Chad Johnson wasting his career?
Because he's more concerned about his celebrations.
But while celebrating, he's led the NFL in receiving for the last 4 years.
And as Chad Johnson said, I celebrate after scoring touchdowns.
Right.
You win games by scoring touchdowns. I'm concerned with winning the game.
When has Chad...
He got
maybe
really
I've missed
it.
When has Chad Johnson done stuff that has not allowed him to do his job as a player?
Well, I mean,
I think he's a gimmicky guy, but I've never seen him not produce. Right?
I totally agree. But
now, here and there, against the Patriots, I thought he could have caught a ball, caught that jumping one in the air where he came back. I mean, But I don't think that's because he was like, well, if I catch this, maybe I'll dance a little. Yeah. He just didn't catch the ball.
My larger point is just that it would mean more to me if it was coming from Jerry Rice or Tim Brown or guys like that. Keyshawn Johnson, to me, in a lot of ways, was the Chad Johnson of his day.
Right. Just not as good.
Just with a tenth of the talent.
Right, yeah. Did you see Ditka call Childress an idiot?
Yes. And he also wanted another guy cut. Cameron Worrell. He just cut him.
That I agree with.
So now D'Angelo Hall and Cameron Worrell.
Did you see Parcells when Ditka was going off? He had his legs crossed. He was just kind of watching him.
Ditka like sat up in his chair.
He sat forward. He's like pointing on his, he wanted his fingers. Somebody. He did. He was all worked up.
It is. I mean, I obviously didn't see the game, but how does Adrian Peterson get four carries in the second half and your quarterback ends up with 72 yards?
Six completions.
Yeah.
As Parcells said, you completed your third pass in the third quarter.
Wow, is he bad.
They got to get rid of
him. They ruined him. He is my guy.
Why did they ruin him?
Because he's a poor man, young.
He can't throw a forward pass.
Yes, they asked him to play way too early.
That ruined him, evidently.
He should have been on the sideline
he
for at least
special.
3 years, 2 to 3 years sitting. If he played the Matt Castle plan, he'd be a good player in the NFL.
If they had just not forced him to throw as the quarterback, he'd have been fine.
Right. You know who'll end up there is Matt Ryan. West Coast offense. That's, of course, if Childress still has a job. God alone.
Major dad?
Yeah.
All right. David in stores, he agrees with you, Tom. He sympathizes with your plight. There's a freaking ladybug epidemic in New England. I'm a student at UConn, and every 5 minutes I find ladybugs in my room. It's inexplicable. I've been using duct tape to stick them and then crush them. Nice guy. I wish I had a shop vac like Casale. But, yeah, I agree with his crazy problem. Anyway, big win this week. Brady looked great. How do you think the Pats will approach Washington? It's a team that excels in coverage and has a good secondary. I'm interested to see what we'll do on offense. Do you think Maroney can actually get a substantial number of carries in this game? That's Dave in stores.
I think the running game is going to have to. I don't think Washington is a team you want to just throw on.
Nope. Andre Carter in that secondary, you'll end up giving the Washington Redskins plays if you try to do that.
Right.
This is a week where you need to have a legit game plan, be balanced, run the ball a little bit, play action pass, sort of old-fashioned football, if you will.
Not to mention, I don't know if you want Brady throwing the ball 40 times against this team. They send Landry.
Right.
If they send his Taylor, will kill you.
Well, that's what I mean.
Just kill you.
That's what I mean. If you're throwing the ball, you have Andre Carter coming off. You guys have guys in the secondary who can make plays.
You got Rocky Mack and Josh Blitzen. And
a coordinator who blitzes, well, with less frequency than he used to, but at any time could send you a blitz every other play. I think if you don't stay balanced, play action pass, all that stuff, you're in trouble.
Andy and I were talking earlier, Tom, about the possibilities of the wide receivers for the future. You know, Moss, mm-hmm. Stallworth obviously have contracts that, Moss is on a one-year deal. Stallworth with the big bonus. Andy thinks there's no way that you re-sign Moss. He thinks that there's a chance he might want to stay here even for less.
Well, I didn't say they
value,
won't.
But
I said I wouldn't.
But he wouldn't want
to.
I'd
be
back.
Scared to death.
I'm in the same category.
Yeah, I am definitely leaving that category based on what I'm seeing.
Because
not on the field, off the
no,
field.
No, but part of what Felger said is right. Because we saw what obviously he was dogging it in Oakland.
Right.
Because he wasn't, I mean, now it wasn't all his fault. They had a terrible scheme and everything.
Quarterback.
Which, I talked to Rod Woodson and he said the same thing. He said Oakland was just a terrible situation. But he said, it is part of his fault too because he wasn't really trying. So what happens if they go undefeated, they get the ring, he doesn't have the same fire.
Right.
Now, he'll still catch – I mean, Brady's still the quarterback, so he'll still throw it up and he'll still catch some passes. But if he's not trying as hard, he's not the same Randy Moss.
And what happens if he doesn't – they were going to give him the offseason off. Bill said he had a schedule. What if he doesn't show up and work out in the offseason, and then maybe Brady gets a little pissy, and all of a sudden he's not just throwing it up to him deep because he says, you know what, he's not my guy anymore, and he's trying to be the old guy and get it to Welker. I think – everything is perfect right now. It's the mm-hmm. honeymoon period. I think that ends at some point.
I just think that the problems and that he's had in the past, and look, it's just my opinion. I could be as wrong as anybody else. I think the problems he had in the past, specifically in Oakland, were due to the fact that the team was hopeless. And
probably.
I think that as long as Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are here, the situation in New England won't be hopeless.
No, I can see that, too. I mean, he's fit in better than any of us. I mean, we all thought
perfect.
He'd be fine.
We all thought it was a great move
right,
to get him, and none of us thought it was going to be anywhere near this good.
No, I mean, when he's doing shout-outs to Oscar Lua, that's beyond what
that's
we thought.
That's the day I learned it.
Yeah, and it's got very little to do with what he's done on the field, because I think we all knew he could do what he's done on the field. I don't think any of us thought he would fit into this extent.
But let's take all that out of it. He is still, what's he going to be, 32?
Well, that's what I said to Paul. I said, even if he stays perfect in terms of he loves it, everything, a year into the contract, you might go, oh, he got old overnight.
Because, and no Patriots fan, if you deny this, you're a homer. He's not the same explosiveness as he was years ago. We've seen those over-the-middle passes where that old... Because John Madden used to say, I've never seen a guy catch a ball in the middle of the field and it looked like five people were going to tackle him and he ends up in the end zone.
Because it took him two strides to be gone.
He doesn't have... Now, he can still go up and get the ball over anybody. We know that. So I think Bill has to look at the physical aspect, too, because is it me or is he going to want a lot of money? That's what I'm thinking.
Well, that's the other aspect. And what's his value?
That's what Fred here... This is not our Fred, but Fred... quote from Earth says that he says that they, you know, have we thought about the possibility that they could franchise him? You know, we're talking about the money and Andy and I was saying, Andy said that he might be willing to take a little bit less than market value.
Well, I think he might.
Like Paul said, if he could get eight on the open market, would he take six here? And I said, yeah, he would in a heartbeat.
So.
Now, I don't think he would take one here if he can get eight on the open market.
But do you know, is franchising...
Soccer, go Revs!
But does franchising him solve the problem?
Oh,
because
we'll talk about it lots, Brad Feldman from the Revs.
Because you can have he can get a lot of money, but yet still be on that 1 year contract, which is what you're looking for.
That might be the best option, because my problem is the long term. You know, maybe you can squeeze one more year out of him, which that would make more sense to me. But if you're going to give him 3-4 years, he's... I think you're rolling the dice on that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
And like we said, none of us have anything against him. The guy's been phenomenal. I love him.
I love everything he's done.
Him in the locker room. I'm just trying to be realistic.
From talking Oscar Lua to turning down Kenny Mayne for the main event to everything he's done, I've loved.
Yeah. Continuing on the theme that the defense is a little bit concerning to a lot of people, Pratt is in Germantown, Maryland. He wants to express his concern about the defense a little bit. Not that the Redskins have a great offense, but the Colts certainly do. This game against the Colts is making me more nervous by the day. I saw how Indy was playing on both sides of the ball yesterday, despite Garrard going down, and they are looking really good. Bob Sanders is making clutch plays, and they are shutting teams down. With all the Pro Bowlers on our defense, we have to play better than we are. Not sure about all those Pro Bowlers. In order to beat the Colts, I am not concerned about our offense, as Brady and the offense will find a way to score TDs, but the team that wins that game will be the one with a better defense and has less turnovers. Every play in that game will be critical toward the outcome of the game. Another concern I have is that the Colts have an obvious mental edge over the Patriots since they have won the last three head-to-head. I am concerned the Pats are getting too much media hype the way the Colts used to, and we have seen how the Colts have lost in those games. Now the Pats are a new team getting all the media attention. Do you guys think this will adversely affect their mindset when they play against the Colts?
No. You can't affect their mindset. They're always prepared. The one thing I'll say, the defense only gave up 7 points in the first half, first of all. So it's not like they're giving up 28 points a half here. Second of all, I thought Jaworski said something pretty good last night where he said, the Colts, we talk about the Patriots always dictate to everybody. He said the Colts offense dictates to you, and they can wear you down with those short passes over the middle. Now, we have to remember, those linebackers are getting up there in age for the Patriots, and I thought about that. That is something to think about. If they own time of possession, do they start wearing down Bruschi and Seau and those guys?
Thomas.
Just another part of the chess match that I think is going to be interesting.
The guy that was brought in supposedly for the Colts and to cover up some of the losses there, he's been banged up, and I don't think he's played well. So
not since he's been injured.
Right. So, you know, you're
and
down
another,
a guy there.
You know, I know Roosevelt Colvin is busy checking over my shoulder for commas.
Adding a comma. You need a comma there. And you're like, what? And he goes, no. And he reads the sentence, comma.
Hey, I didn't edit it yet. I was just writing it.
I never know where to put commas.
I put the comma in. So there you go, Rosie. And you know,
his name wasn't in there. He didn't notice that. He hasn't made a play
well,
in 2 months.
I was going to say, you know me. I'm actually a Rosie fan. I think he's funny. But where is he? He hasn't made a play. You mentioned Thomas. Some of these guys, all of a sudden, that we thought were going to make a lot of plays, they're not really making any plays.
But if I'm going to say that the tackle, I'm going to be consistent and say they haven't been tested. They're not.
But if you're ahead, shouldn't you be putting pressure on the quarterback? That's my concern.
I guess.
Remember the bet I made with Paul? Everything happened except Colvin getting the sacks. I thought they would be ahead in a lot of games. Colvin would get the garbage sacks. Where is he?
I mean, I think that we can use the situations as an excuse to an extent. But I think Tom is right. Most teams jack up the pressure on the passer in those situations. They did it at the end of the Cleveland game a little bit, where they got a couple of back-to-back sacks against Derek Anderson. But we haven't seen a lot of that. And I don't think that's necessarily intensity or focus. But, again, 21 of those points on Sunday came in the fourth quarter. Most of the tackling came late in the game, the tackling issues. I think Andy made some points about the coverage that I agree with. I think from start to finish, game one to game seven, early, middle, and late, there have been open receivers against the Patriots, and I think that's a little bit of a concern. But so far, they haven't really played teams that can take advantage of that.
And to get on the move past the Thomas injury, we saw Mike Vrabel get a little nicked up at the end of the game. If those linebackers are banged up for the meeting with the Colts, a couple of them slowed by injury, that's another concern to throw in there.
Jeff is in Warwick, Rhode Island. I didn't catch this. I don't know if you guys heard anything about it. Dan Marino, don't know if you guys heard this. He said he didn't agree with the Patriots scoring another touchdown before halftime, and players and coaches around the NFL will not forget that the Patriots ran up the score at halftime. I hope Marino saw the Texans game and realized that football teams can come back in the second half. Like Marino took it easy on the Pats in the 80s. He is just jealous that he will be going down to number three behind Manning and Brady when it is all said and done. Also, boo to Sal Palantonio for asking Belichick the same thing during the post game. Everyone is just jealous. If you don't want them to run up the score, stop them. That's Jeff and Warwick.
Well, Palantonio was just upset because Eric slapped him upside the head.
I'm not booing him for asking the question. I'm booing him because he's rhymes with rock.
What was the first thing? Oh, about the Marino thing. I don't have a problem with them scoring a touchdown before the half, but I do agree with Marino that a lot of coaches and teams aren't going to forget about this someday should Tom Brady get injured and Bill Belichick is having a tough season.
That's the thing, and we've talked enough about the running up the score aspect and all that stuff, and I don't think Fred from Earth fame, he just wanted to correct you guys because I didn't see the game. So I'll throw you guys under the bus. The first fourth down for Jacksonville, they needed 2 yards, and that was a pass.
The second one
was the reverse to Jones-Drew.
Yeah, he's right.
1 yard.
The first one is when they said they had John Carney, and they didn't think that he could make it, the 43-year-old. Right. Yeah, he's right. He's correct.
Fred says, by the way, he's predicting 35-6, and he really wants to predict a shutout, but he doesn't have the guts. The Skins are just awful on offense. I think we all would agree on that one.
One more thing about the Jags, just by the way.
Ahead.
You know how I like to pat myself on the back.
Go ahead.
Remember, I wouldn't touch Matt Jones with a 10-foot pole when he came
healthy
out?
Healthy scratch.
Healthy scratch.
Yeah, I think
and
he
growing a beard until he scores.
And he didn't seem too concerned about it on the sideline.
He's a loser.
This is another one, by the way, that PFW was in full unity on and have been, without question, proven correct on.
I like my receivers to, be receivers.
That was one of the worst first-round picks
in
recent
memory. That's a great – I wrote for a fantasy magazine back then, and I said, you know what? That's a great third-round pick.
Right.
A guy who might turn into something, but you're taking him 21 overall doesn't make any sense to me.
Conversions come in
– although he may be the best quarterback on the team. I want to give him a shot.
That's true. He looks ridiculous, though. He's got the JT O'Sullivan thing. No one will follow him.
What did Kornheiser said? He's going to look like the guy from ZZ Top.
Yeah.
Dave in the Philippines has a couple of questions. Have we seen Lawrence Maroney since the game? I'm wondering if he got re-injured since he only had 6 carries all in the first half. I'm hoping they just decided no reason to risk getting him hurt once the game was in hand, but until I hear he's at practice as normal, I'll be worried. I don't think you need to be worried about that. Talked to him after the game. He
seemed fine.
Said he felt fine and all that. And I would assume that we'd have him out on the practice field tomorrow.
Lawrence Crystal Maroney?
I heard one commentator say, I think it was during the Indy game that I watched this morning, that Indy's schedule so far was much harder than the Pats. Now, I know that some teams we've played, most notably these in our division, are not so hot. But I thought Dallas...
they have a combined 2 wins.
But I thought Dallas was a pretty good team. The announcer actually said the Patriots haven't played anybody. That got me angry, and I imagine the people in Dallas and a few other places didn't like it either. Can you provide some insight into the relative strength of schedule between the teams to date? The anybody, I would say, is accurate. They played Dallas. The other 6 teams were anybody.
I just don't care. We'll see in 2 weeks who's better. That's what I say.
Dallas is a good team.
Yeah, they are.
The Patriots beat a good team.
And
I think Tom rattled off 3 reasonably tough division foes that the Colts went on the road all 3 times and won.
And that's bad news for them because they all got to come to Indianapolis now.
Right. And Tennessee is a good, solid, hard-nosed football team, as is Jacksonville. And Houston, I think, is an improving team. Not quite ready yet, but an improving team. All three of those are good, solid wins on the road that are better, in my opinion,
but
than,
none of it matters.
Than any individual win the Patriots have had, with the exception of
now,
that.
The Chargers, I agree with Steve Young. The Patriots, Chargers, Colts, all that matters in the NFL this year.
Yeah, I agree.
The Chargers may be a good team, but the time the Patriots played them, they were still in disarray, so I don't think you got the real Chargers. If you got the real Chargers, and that's a pretty good win, too. I'm just saying they were obviously not right when they played them. So if they play again, we'll see how it pans out. But it's a two-team race. We'll see in 2 weeks who's better, and we'll see in the playoffs.
Right. Dave wants to pass on a thanks to whoever mentioned the Sopcast. Is that what it was last week?
Yes. You guys Fred talking about? Giving illegal
illegal
advice.
Websites that
he
circumvent league rules.
It's my friend for life. I'll be sending an email with the details, blah, 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 blah. So Dave is very excited about that.
But you didn't get it from Fred, according to him.
Well, if you claim you got it from here, you got it from Fred and not the rest of us. I'm not going down with that ship.
Further proving that Maura upstairs has absolutely no idea what she's talking about, and we do have a broad scope. We are now getting one from Indonesia.
Oh, nice.
From Cecilia.
Is Indonesia a country?
I don't like the way it starts, however. Sorry, this is a long email. Since you've been receiving emails from the Philippines, I thought you should know that you also have a fan in Indonesia. After living in Boston 5 years since 2002 for my PhD program, I recently moved back to my home country, Indonesia. In case you don't know where Indonesia is,
thanks,
Gary,
me.
So you can get the pin.
I just need to know where it is.
It's in the archipelago between Asia and Australia. People may know
the
island
archipelago?
Bali. People may know the island of Bali more than Indonesia, but Bali is actually part of Indonesia. I am pretty sure. Not many people, unless they are Americans, know about American football, but I have been a Patriots fan since 2003. Kind of like those Georgetown Hoya fans of the
mid-'80s. Well, to be fair, though.
They won in 2001.
No, this comes to the country.
Right, that's when she lived in Boston.
It's not her fault that she comes here and the Patriots are great and they're fun
to
watch.
She lived in Boston for 5 years.
And I would have latched on, too.
Right, happened to coincide with the Patriots' dominance. After never missing any games when I lived in Boston, now I can only follow them through the internet. CNBC shows the shortened Sunday night game of the week late. The highlights of the entire week's games follow afterwards, so I can only see the highlights of the Patriots game unless they are playing on Sunday night. By the way, it's an 11-hour difference between Boston and Jakarta, the capital city of Indonesia, meaning it's noon in Boston.
I've heard of Jakarta.
It's 11 p.m. here. I am relying on the Pats website and you to know more about the details of the game, so I really enjoy...
Well, sorry about that.
I really enjoy it if you can be more specific and detailed in talking about the plays of the game. I hope the Pats are undefeated this season and can win the Super Bowl. Particularly, I hope they defeat the Colts. Can you discuss how the Pats should game plan against the Colts? That's next week, Cecilia. Right now, we're more concentrating on Washington, and we don't want to draw the wrath of Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm. And, Cecilia, if Roger Goodell has his way, you might get a Super Bowl in Jakarta someday.
Yeah. the Pro Bowl before the Super Bowl?
In or around the Super Bowl city?
This guy is out of control. I don't like him.
Just a flaw with that whole theory. Isn't the Pro Bowl supposed to be the best players?
Isn't there
a good chance some of the best players are on the two best teams?
Now, I know some of the people from the Super Bowl don't play in it anyway.
Right,
but still... It's not going to make the game any... The game sucks. The all-star game for the NFL is always going to be terrible.
Right.
They go half speed. You can't play football half speed. It's one of those, like Paul said, it's usually 55-56. The over-under is always 72 because they don't play any defense whatsoever. It's like an arena football game most of the time.
Well, you're not even allowed to. You're not allowed to blitz and you do different things.
It's never going to be big, so they can do whatever they want.
You can't play football at half speed,
no.
And that's basically what happens. Baseball
is
the only all-star game that can be played, because you can play baseball at 100%, whether the game counts or not.
The only guy who plays that Pro Bowl full speed is Sean Taylor, when a punter's running. Bill says, geez, the Bill's got one good thing here. Let me see if we can get rid of that.
Your division team, right? Alejandro is in Bogota. He said he couldn't watch the game. First time since 2003 he's missed the game.
We're just bouncing around the globe with these emails.
He wants to know, what kind of defense was Miami playing? Were they using a lot of pressure or a lot of coverage? I'm still amazed by 21 out of 25. How did our linebacker core perform, and was Joey Porter ejected for stupidity?
Nobody could have been.
He could have been.
Well, according to Andre Goodman, the first drive they tried to send pressure, and when the Patriots went right down and scored, he thought that kind of took them out of their game plan, and they tried to play zone more, and he said, you know, Brady Ulrich just ripped that apart.
Strippers was very excited the Patriots held on at the end there. He gave the 17.
Oh, did he?
So
okay.
He won that. But, yeah, I agree with Tom's assessment of Miami's defense, or actually Andre Goodman's. They looked like they tried to send a little pressure early, and they weren't getting there, and they went for coverage, and that didn't work either.
And I'll tell you one thing about Andre Goodman. He might not be a great football player, but look for him on ESPN soon. That guy's phenomenal. The best, one of the best guys I've ever talked to.
Well, what do they want a guy who's phenomenal for?
That's true.
Anyway, RJ, next up. It's funny how PFW in Progress can rear its ugly head into your life when you're not even listening to the show. I was watching the National Geographic Channel the other day, and what word do I see spray-painted on the wall in the background? Peckerwood. It's a term used by southern black people to describe poor white people,
right,
kind of like white trash. So, I know it was the Dolphins, but the Pats offense looked unstoppable. Not almost and not mostly, but absolutely unstoppable. There are too many amazing plays to touch on. I have a question, though. Is there any way in hell that Belichick is playing the defense down a little bit? Cleo Lemon made it look pretty easy at times. Or do you guys think Richard Seymour will make that grand entrance in Indy and change the defensive dynamic? I wonder because Manning looked pretty phenomenal, but I have to think this defense is capable of more. We did upgrade it, no? And I love how Dante Starworth looks like a running back out there. Very impressive. Maybe he should be splitting time with Kevin Falk and Sammy Morris. Maroney, he's just kidding, by the way. Maroney needs to step up and have a highlight reel game. I'm sick of seeing his runs against Cincinnati from last year. And that's RJ in Vegas.
I agree with the highlight reel game because he hasn't had a highlight reel yet this year.
Yeah, I was going to say something, but I forgot what he said. Remember the famous Saturday Night Live skit between Chevy Chase and, what was the black guy's name?
Garrett Morris.
Where they go back and forth.
Tom remembers the white guy's name.
But there would be no math.
You Peckerwood.
Garrett Morris.
Morris actually uses it. He goes, Peckerwood, when they're going back and forth. Have you seen that, Andy?
No.
Oh, it's fun. You'll die laughing.
We can't repeat it.
That was actually Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor.
Sure?
Yeah, it was. He's right. It was Richard Pryor.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You know what? You are correct.
It's one of the funnier TV moments, things that you could never say today on TV.
The last one was dead honky.
Yeah. Let's see. Kevin, next up. Matt Gutierrez is usually listed as the inactive third quarterback, but yet I saw him in a few games nailed down at the end. Against Miami, he also came in toward the end. If you're inactive, can you even play? Andy, you want to explain that?
Third quarterback can play, especially in the fourth quarter. If he comes in before the fourth quarter, you lose the guy you take out.
You lose the two quarterbacks.
You lose both?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, whatever the rule is.
You can't have a third guy come in before the fourth quarter.
Third quarterback's the only inactive who's in uniform on the sideline ready to go in an emergency, hence the name emergency quarterback.
Right. I also DVR the
Matt Jones was on the field last night because he was the emergency quarterback in uniform despite being a healthy inactive.
I also DVR the games and watch a few plays back during the week, and I noticed that Adalis Thomas, since getting hurt, does not look 100%. Do you still think he can still cover Dallas Clark not being 100%?
I didn't think he could before.
I've said this all along. I have seen nothing from Adalis Thomas yet that tells me that he's capable of covering a good tight end.
No.
They haven't really asked him to do it.
I don't think any linebacker on planet Earth is capable of covering a good tight end.
Now, it's possible.
I'm not sure they have a safety that can cover Dallas
but
Clark.
But it's possible that Bill is specifically not asking him to do it because he plans on having him do it then.
I saw him getting beaten in training camp with regularity.
Yeah,
by guys.
Don't think it's smart.
Adalis Thomas is going to help you in the passing game the way he did with the Asante Samuel pick a couple weeks ago, where he's there, he sticks a hand out, he's in the way. He's not running man-for-man with Dallas Clark or any other good tight end.
If I had to throw out just a guess here, my guess would be on passing downs, Teddy Bruschi is not going to play much against the Colts. I guarantee you that right now because they abused him in the AFC Championship game. I'm pretty sure Bill saw that film. I think that Thomas might play some on the outside trying to get some pressure, and they bring maybe a James Sanders up to play with Seau in that middle to try to take away because you can't leave Bruschi in there. We know that. And I agree with you guys. I don't think on obvious passing downs, I don't know if Thomas is the guy that you want covering in the middle of the field. I don't think, as you would say, Andy, not using him to the best of his ability. Right. Use him to get after Peyton Manning.
Next up is James in England.
Bouncing around the globe again.
I have a problem with us going 16-0. Do we really want to? I think 16-0 and getting home field advantage would be a disadvantage to us.
Yeah, well,
I
think our offense would suffer greatly in the AFC Championship game at home, most likely against the Colts in a heavy snowstorm. I really think
play in the dome. I'm adding this to my commentary.
I really think our passing game would suffer a great deal in this. I know this is thinking ahead a lot further, but would want to get your guys' thoughts on it?
I'll say to him what I've always said about the Colts and other teams. If you have an offense that can only win indoors, you don't have a championship football team. You got to be able to win anywheres. And that's what the Colts used to have when they came here because they used to throw long all the time and Now I actually think if the Colts had to come here, I don't think they would win, but I think they have a better chance because they run the football more. They play a little bit better defense, so I think it would be closer. But the Patriots can do whatever they want.
Right.
To be honest.
I don't think this offense is only a big play offense.
No, they're throwing. Like Brady said after the game, I threw a 4-yard pass to Stallworth.
Right.
I threw a 7-yard pass to Welker. It's not like they're just throwing up bombs to Moss every play.
Now, the devil's advocate side that I'll take just for the sake of this discussion, if they don't get a consistent running a game, and I'm not sure that if this team lines up the ball and says we're running the ball, they're going to run it. I'm not sure that they're going to do that.
No, I think that might be a problem.
In a snowstorm in January, which is what obviously the emailer's concerned is, I don't think that you're going to be able to throw the 5-yard passes to Welker and Stallworth and Moss that you have so far because that threat of the 30, 40-yard pass is gone. So
the Patriots have become the Colts then.
But the Colts have the same problem.
Right. No, I agree.
And the Colts have the same problem, and that's why I don't think there's any chance ever that Indy comes to Foxborough in January and wins. I don't think there's any chance whatsoever because half of their offense is taken away. I think the devil's advocate side is maybe some of the Patriots' offense is now taken away, whereas in the past it really wasn't.
Let me ask you guys this. Say Maroney continues this season being average. Doesn't, you know, at the end of the year we're like, this guy's just not working out. You have the fourth pick overall, with Darren McFadden sitting there. Do you take a linebacker or someone on defense, or do you just say, we'll just freaking outscore everybody and take McFadden, who could be not quite as good as Adrian Peterson, I don't think, but in that class, and you put them with these weapons, what do you do?
Personally, me, I take a linebacker.
I would take the linebacker, too.
Okay. I think running backs have such a short shelf life, I'm not willing to give a top five pick for one, even one that's special.
But you know
and
the fans will want.
And you know I love Darren McFadden.
No, I know.
But with Brady, you already have Brady, so you have the...
Plus, you've already drafted Maroney two years ago.
I mean, let's be honest, he hasn't been terrible.
Right. No, I'm just saying so, if he continues like being injured and you're like, is this the guy?
I'm not sure there's enough of an upgrade there, whereas I think the upgrade defensively, if you take one of those legit linebackers, is ridiculous. And you're setting yourself up for that upgrade to be 10 years to help you.
Hey, help me out again, guys. Another detail on last night's game. Was the hit on Garrard similar to the one Wilfork put on Lossman?
Oh, no. The guy was on the ground, and he just wrapped around his leg and the ankle. But he wasn't in the air. He was laying on the ground, and it was Freeney who came around?
Did he have the ball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Garrard was...
Oh, it was a sack?
Yeah.
Was it a sack? Or was he in the process of throwing?
Oh, no.
Either way, he had the ball.
Freeney came around.
If he had the ball when the contact was made, then it's not roughing the... It's not a late hit.
Right.
It may have been roughing because of that low thing.
It should be nothing.
No, it was Ed Johnson.
But they have
that
rule. It's not about what we think.
Ed Johnson was laying on the ground doing nothing, and Freeney came around, and Garrard tried to step away to get away from Freeney, and he walked right into Ed Johnson, and Ed Johnson just wrapped himself around him, and when he did, Garrard's ankle buckled under. So, no, that wouldn't be the same thing.
Not a cheap play. In
Ken has a couple of observations he wants to give up. I didn't see the play. I'm not trying to duck an opinion. I didn't see the play, so I really can't comment. But Ken has a few observations he wants to throw in here. While I think it's really too early to dismiss Castle, in the few occasions he's played, he's worlds ahead of Rohan Davey. Every quarterback has days he'd like to forget, including Tom Brady. On the other hand, if you were looking for the perfect backup to Brady, look no further than NJ. It's a foregone conclusion that the Jets will want to dump Pennington's big salary this offseason. What do you think of that?
What?
Chad Pennington, next year.
If he wants to be a backup, sure.
Oh, yeah.
I think he'll have opportunities to
be a starter. Yeah, so do I. And
I would think so. There's not enough starters.
He'd be perfect, a good game manager who makes good decisions. Pennington is the kind of quarterback who could take a team as talented as the Pats to the Super Bowl on his own, even with his obvious limitations. While he is nowhere near as good as Tom Brady today, he's better than the Tom Brady who had a less talented 2001 team to a championship. For the right price, he'd be perfect. I agree. He'd be a perfect veteran game manager type.
But he's going to start somewhere.
But I think he's going to want to get started.
Last year, we had the emails coming in saying that the receiving corps was okay. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was okay. And I'm telling you right now, Matt Castle can't play, and he won't be on the team next year. That's my prediction.
Some of us predicted he'd get cut this year, and he should have been.
They will bring in someone else to back up Brady because this guy cannot hold down the fort for five. And it's not his fault. He hasn't played football since high school. You can't expect him to come in
and know how to read.
Yeah, it's just impossible. He's got some physical skills, but it ain't going to happen.
I'm just going to reserve judgment until I actually see him play. I love Dante Stallworth.
You'll never have a judgment then.
No, I might not. He might not be on the team next year because he might be too expensive.
But what if he has? But that's the part I'm saying is, what if he has to play? And I don't.
I don't know what would
ready.
Happen. I've never seen him play, so I'm not going to judge it on one play like everybody else seems to be doing today.
Well, I'm judging it on everything I've seen in practice.
Well, you must. I'm sure.
I don't think he's been anywhere near as bad in practice as you do. That's all.
I think he's been terrible.
Yeah. Well, I disagree.
I'm sure you heard all the sports radio coming in, and they all were on Matt Cassel. And
I didn't hear any sports radio about Matt Cassel. Why would they be talking about Matt Cassel on sports
radio?
Saying
that he's a stiff.
That's what everybody wanted to talk about post-game. Sal, pal.
I thought they were talking about running.
Yeah, I was at the game.
In my opinion, I just don't think he's going
to be. That's all I heard this
bad.
Morning on sports radio was whether or not they ran up the score. They went on for 45 minutes.
It was I was at the game.
I don't listen to sports radio. I was listening to country music.
Ken continues, I love Dante Stallworth, but his skill set is very much like that of Chad Jackson, just more developed and more experienced. For that reason, if I had to make a choice between Moss and Stallworth, that's why Dante would be the one to go. Keeping both would be the best situation, but that would take a big sacrifice to the market on both guys' part. However, it isn't inconceivable that this year's positive experience might cause both players to play for the pittance of around $4 to $5 million each. At worst, it would be good conversation fodder from now until March.
If they re-sign both of those, you'll hear 31 other teams say, are you freaking kidding me? Why are guys just staying there now?
I'm not sure that I agree with the comparisons between Chad Jackson and Dante Stallworth.
Well, it depends what... I have no idea what Chad Jackson is.
That's true.
But I
agree with his summation about the contracts and the money and stuff.
Dante,
he didn't seem as fast as Stallworth.
I was going to say, and I thought he had better hands. So, yeah, I don't really... Stallworth on the field is fast. Chad Jackson hasn't been fast on the field. Stallworth on the field has adequate hands, not great hands. I thought Chad Jackson had great hands coming in. I don't know whether he still has those hands or not.
Has it been firmly established that the pick the Pats lost will be their own, or
yes.
Is there a possibility that Goodell will swipe the San Francisco pick? From my understanding, yes, it was established right from the first day.
It's the Patriots pick.
The Patriots lose their first-round draft pick.
It's well established. I don't know
unless they've
continue.
Changed that.
Goodell changes things on the run.
That's
all the
what I'm
time.
Saying.
Tank
what?
Johnson's practicing.
And I think that's what Ken's point is. Is there a possibility Goodell will swipe to San Francisco?
Well, aren't they having those meetings?
Oh, that would be great if it's a top 10 pick and he swoops and he goes, I changed my mind. You're picking 32.
Did they say at the meetings they were going to talk more about the Spygate? Aren't they having meetings or something this week?
There's
somewhere?
Some Philadelphia, I think, league meetings or
and
something.
And they said they were going to discuss this stuff further and there could be further sanctions on the Patriots down the road.
That
would be funny, though, if he said, I
changed
my mind.
Ken finishes by saying that he thinks the Colts game will answer any questions about the Pats running game, and he thinks that Pats fans will be happy with the results. I'm not so sure.
Okay, we'll see. I'd feel better about that prediction if Sammy Morris were still here.
How long is he out for now?
A month, supposedly. I mean, I have no idea, but reportedly it's been a month. So
now, do you guys think Seymour, we hear a lot about the Seymour coming back for Indianapolis. He hasn't been in training camp.
I don't think
he's
so.
He's missed 9 or so weeks. Do you think he can just come back in Indianapolis and say, here I am? And
I mean, I guess he could, but I certainly don't think it's the ideal situation. And I certainly would think it's funny that they're just holding him back or planning to unveil Superman against the Colts.
We just don't know. We just don't know what the situation is, and it's
impossible. I've been wrong since day one when I said they'll take their time with the Jackson brothers. Seymour and Brown will be back immediately.
Right. Scott's next up. Only concern I have about the Patriots is when the playoffs come and we are playing at home in cold, nasty weather, we will not be able to play offense in the same way that we do now. I think our explosiveness will suffer. With that being said, it seems to me that it may possibly benefit the team if we have to play the Colts on the road come January in the AFC Championship.
Everybody wants to play in the RCA,
so now they're rooting that they lose against the Colts?
Crazy, especially since there is probably no better road team than the Patriots. Your thoughts? On a lighter note, kudos to Craig. He survived today for what I imagine was the first time in weeks.
I don't know what Gary was doing.
This is beginning to remind me of Kenny in South Park. Oh, my God, you killed Craig. You bastards!
Over took under. The day off.
You want some over-unders?
Sure. Actually, the day was Friday.
4 total touchdowns versus the Redskins.
What was that now?
4 total touchdowns versus the Redskins.
I'll take the over.
Didn't we say to do these with the halves?
49 touchdowns for Brady this year.
Over.
1,500 receiving yards for Moss this year.
Under. Actually, what's he at? 7 and change right now?
I don't know. Eight Patriot Pro Bowlers this year.
Under.
Under.
2 Pro Bowlers from our offensive line.
Under.
Will Craig get blown up tomorrow?
No, Gary's asleep at the wheel around here.
Evidently, he doesn't care.
Who, Gary or Craig?
All right, got a few more emails we'll try to get here.
Turn this thing on!
Alexander has...
I blew Andy up.
I have a question and a comment.
I blew Andy up.
First, I heard a lot before the season about how it would take time for Brady to sync with his receivers. Sports commentators seem to make a big deal about this. How long Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison have been together, for instance. My question is whether you think having extended time with your receivers is something that is overblown. If not, can we expect that Brady and his receivers will get even better as the season progresses? I don't think that
they can't
it's possible get to get any better.
Right. They've been so good. In theory, they might be more on the same page, but the results can't possibly be any better than the results have been through the first seven games. We were 100% wrong.
Yeah.
100% could not have been more wrong.
I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal going in, but at that said, I was 100% wrong because I thought it would be, at least be a factor, and it wasn't. As for my comment, I have to respectfully disagree with your assessment of whether it would be beneficial to keep Moss here for a few more years. There seems to be three issues at play. Moss's productivity, his attitude slash motivation, and the money. As far as his productivity, I think comparisons to with Corey Dillon are disingenuous. Running backs taper off much faster than wide receivers. Show me one productive running back in his mid-30s, and I will show you 10 productive wide receivers of the same age. Even if Moss loses another step, he will still draw double coverage and make the players around him better. I don't think that the comparisons to Corey Dillon had anything to do with productivity.
No.
Just as an aside, I think
everything
he just wrote, I agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the comparisons to Corey Dillon were productivity. It was attitude. As far as attitude
Steve
or motivation,
DeBerg has one of the top four touchdown to interception seasons in league history.
Moss has seemed to fit in with the Patriots system flawlessly. Have you heard of any negative incidents? If Moss is really as football smart as people say he is, and if he really loves the game of football, I think he'll continue to behave for Belichick. Even if the Pats win the Super Bowl, there is too much positive peer pressure in that locker room. Dillon didn't act out after they won a Super Bowl title, did he? I think he did.
Yes.
And that's where I think the comparison would be.
And yes, there have been. We've heard things about Moss when he wasn't practicing, and Brady had to chew him out on the practice field. If you want to just go by what we've quote-unquote
That was in Sporting News, by the way. I want to say that was in Sporting News.
Right.
Okay. The last issue, then, is the money. This is the only thing that is questionable in my mind. The Patriots have only shelled out the big bucks for a few special players. Would they be willing to do that for Moss? I don't know. So here is my verdict. If Moss wants a lot of money, send him packing. If he's willing to stay here for less, which would indicate a good attitude as well, keep him for a few years. That's Alex in Gloucester.
I couldn't be more opposed to that email. I have no care about the money. If you can guarantee me that I'm going to get the Randy Moss is playing right now, then I'll write him a blank check and tell him to fill in the digits on the way to the bank. I have the concerns that I'm paying for a guy that's not going to be that good, not going to be that valuable, not going to be that motivated. Money's not an issue because he's changed this offense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that you can just sit there and make it all about, you know, money if you want. And you know what kind of bothers me?
Everything.
If he takes less, that's an indication of a good attitude. Why? Why can't you take less and still have a bad attitude? Or then again, why can't you want more and have a great attitude?
I make nothing, and I have a bad attitude.
But, I mean, if a guy thinks that he's worth a certain amount of money, and he's not willing to accept less than that, why is that a bad attitude?
Yeah.
The guy who has a comment about everything all of a sudden looks at you blankly and says, no. John Rook is here, though.
John Rook will have an opinion.
John?
Hello, Paul.
What are you looking for?
If a guy thinks that he's worth a certain amount of money,
yeah,
and he that won't accept less, why is that like an indication of a bad attitude?
I think what it might indicate is someone who, I don't know that it's necessarily a bad attitude. Maybe it's just somebody who is a business person.
Right. Bill Belichick, does he have a bad attitude? Because he puts a value on everything, and he's not going to deviate from that value. Sometimes he has a bad attitude, but that's just me.
No, I think that just means that you can either choose to deal with him or not.
Right.
If you want the benefit of playing in New England, then you have to deal with the man. If you don't, then you don't. It's to me, it's fairly cut and dry.
So you re-sign Randy Moss?
Would I re-sign him? As long as it doesn't break the bank, sure. Why not? I mean, if
you could end up with an aging, less motivated receiver who
it's all about
isn't
winning.
Good.
It's all about winning now. And if you think that he can help you still win now and win next year or for however long you're going to sign him for, you sign him, period.
Now it's about just winning now. Boy, these things really change quickly in New England. Huh?
I really think that the Patriots would be doing themselves a disservice to allow all of them to go. In other words,
I agree with that.
In other words, Welker comes back, and you let Stallworth go, you let Moss go.
Because if you let those two go, you're virtually letting go Welker too.
I think you have to feel like one of those two guys has to come back.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
But are they the same with just Stallworth?
No.
Without
no.
Moss?
No.
You know what I mean?
But
they do have this guy called
good
Chad
enough.
Jackson.
And you can go sign somebody else, too. There's always that option.
And don't tell me that you're not going to be okay with, even if it was just, forget Chad Jackson for a second, even if it was just Stallworth and Welker, that's light years better than
Caldwell,
Gaffney and Caldwell.
And we don't know the free agent list, but I'm sure there's receivers out there that you can go and get.
Right, and you always have a chance to supplement that, you know, with those and the guys that are already here, like Jackson. Even a Kelly Washington.
Or
you know,
a draft
pick. Do the Raiders have any good receivers? The Patriots got some 5th, 6th round draft choices.
That's actually a good point. That still just boggles my mind. A 2nd, a 7th, and a 5-year contract for one guy.
Yeah.
A 1-year deal and a 4th round pick for Moss.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
I still can't get that. I can't get my mind around that.
Pretty amazing.
Anyway, what do you got today, John Rook?
What do I got today? We'll have, I think, some usual recap and revisiting with B-Lo, with Brian Lowe.
Got nothing,
No, actually, here's the thing. No, I don't think it's quite that bad. It's not quite that bad.
Not quite that bad.
Simply because has anybody read? We always have quality stuff here, Tom. Quality. Of course, if you guys ever took the time to listen, you'd realize that most likely. But
last time you
I know that you're
us.
Busy.
I'm sorry, we got to go do a TV show.
I listen to you guys all the time.
That's because you're in your basement alone.
We got to go do a TV show. Sorry,
like most of our listeners. That's exactly right. Has anybody read Greg Easterbrook's column today?
We had a couple of emails about it, but I hadn't read it, so I didn't get to those emails.
It's a doozy.
What's he got?
He did
good
it,
doozy or
he
a bad doozy?
He did it again, huh?
It's a doozy.
Patriots are evil, I guess.
It's a doozy. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm going to tease you.
You can't tell me what it's about?
I think you're going to have to go read it.
Well, I was going to tell you right now, I'm not going to read it, so.
I will.
I'm not listening to your show, John. What's it about?
There's words in there, Tom, that even you would not understand.
The?
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Tom's kind of a rockhead now.
Hubris?
It's actually pronounced Phuket.
That's going to put a wrap on another travesty of a show for PFW in Progress. Stay tuned for John Rook and Patriots Playbook.
Yeah, I was at the game.